about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's the problem in the marriage bed that no one likes to talk about. Maybe that's why they call it silent but deadly. Well, now there's a real solution to a very real problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
USA.
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 We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. USA.
I love America. I really do, because every time I come here, I feel so welcomed and safe. It's true, you guys, you really know how to treat white people.
And now,
I wanna you.
Our feature presentation.
What just happened right there?
Come on, man. Rodney's got moves. You guys know that. What woman could resist? Allie, you were melting inside.
I don't know if that's the word.
Those dulcet tones.
Oh, dear.
I was getting ready to dive out of the way because of the throw up that was coming.
What do you think he was talking about there? Was that a phone call being recorded he was unaware of, or is that did he use those words somehow in the commission of his broadcast duties?
I would imagine. It's, I don't know.
It was on the air, probably.
The name of a song.
Maybe? Hey,
I don't know.
How long you been here, Monkey?
About 10 seconds.
Yeah. It's weird. I thought, is 11? The flash on? I'm watching the screen, and I see I can't even make out what it is. It's just such a blur, and I'm thinking, how does he do that? He really does have superhuman speed.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
When time counts, Kevin is the man to master it.
Thank you, Bean. Thank you.
It was very impressive. How was everybody's weekend?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
How about you?
It was great. I had a great weekend. You know, I think about you a lot, Allie, and I don't mean that in a... because you have achieved my ultimate goal, which is to be able to watch all the TV all the time, always, because you have nothing else in your life. Because you're friendless, you're dateless, you're barren, you've got nothing really to occupy your
all
time.
All those things.
So every time, like, a new miniseries comes out, like War and Peace just started last night.
Man, that was good.
And I think, man, I would really like to see that. There's no way I'm going to be able to carve out 10 hours to watch that. And then I think, God damn it, Allie is so lucky. That's like one night's TV for her.
You're really talking me up. Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Allie is the type of person who will hear about a show, and it's 14 seasons long, and then a week later she'll come back and go, okay, so check. That's done. Finish that. Because she just has she has 20 hours a day to watch TV, and I'm just thinking, oh, man.
Yeah.
What a dream.
What a dream. You've become weird in that that's the only thing that matters to you now, is watching TV.
No. I wouldn't say
pretty
that's
much.
True. No, I wouldn't say
pretty
that's
much.
True. Pretty much. I think I am speaking to the much-heralded golden age of television, though, which is just that we can't even keep up with the good shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no time to watch great stuff. And it does bug me because I'm a guy who likes to stay current.
So sure.
It wigs me out a little bit that I'm unable to watch some of these things that I'm sure Allie is enjoying with all of her free time.
If it helps you in any way, I have zero interest in War and Peace.
That was just an example
of a
recent 10-hour show.
I'm just trying to help.
Fill in the blank. When Making a Murderer came out, Allie was done the first day, for instance. The rest of us got to it like after Christmas when things died down. We're like, okay, finally I can watch that show. You know what I mean? But she just burns through content. That's why Hollywood's working so hard, is just to keep up with Allie. Just to give her something new to watch. She's out.
It's kind of true.
Yeah. All right. Do we have time for a nonsense story before we get going? Okay, hang on. This one comes from Seattle.
Go somewhere for it?
No, I just had to grab it. This is out of Seattle, Washington. This was last Tuesday night. And we've talked about this before. When you get pulled over by the police, when they come up behind you and you see those red lights going.
Cleavage.
That may work for you.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, we're just like, okay, what is he going to find fault with? should I be doing? What should I not be doing? How do I not appear suspicious? I can't remember. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to suck up? Am I supposed to admit it? Am I supposed to deny it? Am I supposed to flash a hundy? What am I supposed to do? Like, all these thoughts are going through your mind.
I think flash a hundy is at the top.
This 73-year-old man who was pulled over at 8:30 last Tuesday night near Martin Luther King Jr. Way South in South Seattle was driving without his lights on. And that won't surprise you, Kevin, because, again, 73. All right? Mm-hmm. So the officer walks up to the car, checks the man's license and registration. He's driving a Toyota, and the officer realizes he has no prior convictions or arrests or anything on his record. It's a completely clean driving record. Old man, lights are off. Maybe he just forgot. Give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to just give him a warning, make sure he has his lights on, send him on his way. He goes back up to, after checking all the information in the police car, he goes back up to the man's window, knocks on the driver's window, startling the man and causing him to spill cocaine on his hands and on the floor of the Toyota. He was snorting cocaine in his front seat of his car while the officer was behind him running his tags.
What?
You know that awkward...
He couldn't wait for, what, 2.5 minutes?
Yes. You know that awkward couple of minutes where you don't know how it's going to go, but you just want to make sure to not do anything suspicious. You don't want to get out of the car. You don't want to make a phone call. You just want to sit there like a good little soldier because you want to leave. This guy is thinking, I'm bored.
You can need a bump.
I need a bump. Yeah. I got something to do. The man eventually admitted he had been snorting cocaine in the middle of the traffic stop. The officer said, yeah, he was only going to issue him a warning, but then the cocaine changed things and he was arrested and booked an investigation of drug possession. But that is a cool customer right there who is so comfortable in his own skin that he will do cocaine while he's waiting for the policeman to come back to the car.
Look, I got a minute. I got about a minute
right?
and a
right.
half. I can do this.
He's a multitasker.
That's
so
weird.
Well done. I don't think we
Imagine
have a
the cop, too. The cop's got to go,
What just happened?
I was just because, are you, what are you? To a 73-year-old.
I know. Doesn't it seem... I guess there's no cutoff for drugs, but come on. 73?
73, cocaine? Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right? This poor cop was like, I was 5 minutes from being on break, and now I've got to arrest your old ass.
So much paperwork.
So anyway, good times. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we? Mm-hmm.
There's something going on, and it's bad.
Donald Trump has a... Well, there's always Donald Trump news, always.
So they spent 3 hours in British Parliament yesterday debating Donald Trump and whether he should be allowed in the country. That's the business of that was the business of the nation yesterday. Is talking about whether they can draft legislation to exclude one person for being an idiot. I'm not kidding. That's where this has gotten with
now,
Donald Trump.
You mean before he becomes president?
I think they mean now.
Yeah, right. So I'm saying once he becomes president, they can't really do that.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Oh, my God. Of all countries not to be aligned with because our president's
cool.
a D-bag. That's amazing.
Sit down.
Right. Also, exactly. On the program today, we have Noel Fielding in studio.
Very funny. Allie, going to be okay?
I am.
Don't ruin it for us now.
Okay.
Okay. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Talking about this weekend's football. We have the Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros Papadakis.
I hear it's the, first of all, it's raining Ben, I understand.
Sure.
And also I hear it is the most dramatic journey ever.
Oh, so sweet.
So beautiful.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on the first day of the week. It happens to be Tuesday today. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
I know it's only a 4-day week, but I feel like it's going to be a long one if that's how we're starting, you guys. They just told me the only thing I create is hate. That's what they just told me.
In other people,
don't
right. Don't get us wrong.
That's hurtful. All right, Tuesday morning, our friend Ralph Garvin
is here. There was a TV show about hate that I could watch. I wish I had more time to watch hateful shows, too.
I'm not the hate fan. You guys are the hate fans. I didn't bring up the hate. Let's see what's going on in the showbiz world. Here's Ralph with our first look for the week. At, what is it, 5:53?
It is sad times in the music industry. We lost yet another icon of popular music. Glenn Frey was his name. Co-founder, songwriter, singer for the legendary rock band The Eagles, passed away on Monday at the age of 67. It was announced by the band on their website, where they released the statement, is with the heaviest of hearts that we announce the passing of our comrade. Glenn apparently succumbed to complications from rheumatoid arthritis, acute ulcerative colitis, and pneumonia. It's an odd.
Sounds bad.
Trilogy of.
That's a lot of things to fight.
Triptych of injuries there and illnesses, but just sad news. Of course, if you know any music by the Eagles, you know his work. He wrote and provided vocals for Heartache Tonight, Lion Eyes, Tequila Sunrise, Take It Easy, co-wrote Hotel California and Desperado with his longtime bandmate Don Henley. And Henley, although they famously fought tooth and nail in midst of being in that band together, released a statement saying, "He was like a brother to me. We were family. Like most families, there was some dysfunction. But the bond we forged 45 years ago was never broken." So, sad news for fans
really
of that
is.
Band and popular music.
Kevin, you weren't... What?
Time for Bean's moving tribute online.
Sure.
To Glenn Frey?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Bean tweets, I was really sad about Glenn Frey until I remembered that even though he has checked out, he can never leave.
That's very appropriate.
Oh, you.
I was going to ask you, Kevin.
I took the words of a popular song and I twisted them.
I think everybody gets it, Ralph.
I'm a creator. Look at me create.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, you said that you were not a big David Bowie fan, not that
right.
You're happy anyone passes, but you weren't a big Bowie fan. How about the Eagles? Were they somebody that was significant
I liked
anyway?
Them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's been a while since they've done anything relevant, but I liked them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously their best work was behind them. However, they were the soundtrack to a lot of people's
yeah.
lives, you know.
They were.
We all have maybe one or two Eagles songs that we can remember where or when they played a role in our lives. So it is sad to watch these... rock and pop music icons fall by the wayside because they represent more than just musicians to a lot of us. These are the guys who provided art and moments in our lives that we'll remember forever. We have fond memories of the work, and so it ties in emotionally when they pass, I think. But sad news. Remember, speaking of popular music, you know that song American Pie, right?
Oh, dear God. Yes.
One of the best songs ever.
Of all time.
By best, you mean worst.
One of the best songs ever.
The guy who wrote and recorded that song, Don McLean, was arrested for domestic violence.
How old is that
dude?
That's
what I'm thinking. How much damage could he do?
What is going on?
Maybe he's doing cocaine at a stoplight.
I think he's about that age, Rob. I think he's maybe 72, 73.
Yeah, cops.
Lives in Maine, by the way, Allie.
Well, I don't support him.
I'm just saying, you and your people.
Cops were called to his home there in Camden, Maine, after his wife called the police at 2 a.m. on Monday morning claiming Don hit her.
What is he doing up at 2? Like getting up to pee or something, right? My God. Just saying he's old.
You know,
established.
I think we've all covered that, Allie.
Noted.
Okay.
I got it written in my notes here that Don is
we'll put that in the record.
An elderly gentleman.
All good.
Wait, he's not young?
No, he's not a young man. Police say they're not sure what the fight was over. However, his wife kept playing that song over and over again. He just couldn't take it any longer. Just started snapping. Even he doesn't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
His handwritten lyrics for that song recently, by the way, sold at auction. For $1.2 million.
Oh.
So he doesn't really need to do much these days. He's kind of living off the fat of his hand right there.
Is that an expression?
I don't
is that something?
Think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, he's living off the fat of the land. And I got a little wordplay there because there were handwritten lyrics.
I see.
So he's living off the fat of his hand.
I like it. But, Kevin, isn't it true that nothing good ever happens after midnight?
That's
isn't
true.
That what you've,
true.
You've said many times before.
But a lot of good things happen.
A lot of good things do happen. Yeah, that's the important.
That's my
Kevin corollary, as we call it.
That's right. In honor of Don and his arrest, I would like to sing American Pie in its entirety.
No, you would not.
I like to do from time to time. So, if you give me a... Can I get a C?
There's a C.
No, I don't think that's... A long, long time ago...
That's enough. I think people know the song.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance...
Stop it.
...that I could make those people dance. And maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step.
I'm asking you as a man to stop this immediately.
If I cried,
when
Stop
I read
it.
About his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day.
Would you please stop doing that?
The music died.
And that's stop a good it. Place to leave it right there because everybody knows
bye,
the song.
Bye,
nope,
bye,
don't need the whole song.
American
not
the
whole song.
Pie.
Nope, got stuff
drove
to do.
My Chevy to the levee. I only have 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Till the levee was dry.
Please stop. Please find a way to stop.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very fine show planned for you today, including comedian Noel Fielding will be here. Also, The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros Papadakis just after 8. First, though, it's not Monday like usual, but it's our first day back. Let's check in with Harvey Levin in the TMZ.com newsroom. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a bunch of stuff we want to run by, and I guess we should start with the Oscars, just because this thing, is the boycott idea picking up steam, or are Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith just going to be outliers on this, and everybody else is going to go, hey, it's the Academy Awards. I don't want to miss it.
Okay, so it is exploding right now. We just posted something. You guys should look at it. Snoop just went off the rails on this thing. And a lot of people are kind of taking sides, and they're split. And they're, even African-Americans are split in this. So there's some people, you know, one of the members of the cast of Fresh Prince is saying, are you kidding that with all the stuff that's going on, this is what we're worried about? But I got to say, I really think everybody's misreporting Jada Pinkett Smith.
You do.
Saying that she's calling for a boycott. I don't think she's calling for a boycott at all. I think this is way deeper than a boycott, because a boycott means unless you do X, we're not going to support you guys. She's not saying that. What she's saying is, hey, you know what? We're not going to beg you guys anymore, and we're not going to ask you guys to include us because we don't care anymore. I mean, you're irrelevant to us, and we're going to create our own community, and we will do our own art, and we will have our own awards, and we will market our art to people who want it, and we don't care about you anymore. That's not a boycott. That's kind of what Eldridge Cleaver used to say 50 years ago, and it's a really kind of profound thing, and it's kind of being, you know, glossed over as, oh, she's calling for a boycott. It's a really interesting approach to this, and I think it deserves some talk.
I agree, and we had somebody on last week talking about this issue who's very active in African American, you know, stories, and we really wanted to get her perspective. And, you know, I think a lot of people go, as we did last week, hey, look, if you want to nominate some of these actors that everybody loves that didn't get nominated, Idris Elba comes to mind, or Michael B. Jordan, if you want to nominate them, you got to dump somebody out of that category. But then others will say, that's not what it's about. It's not about who got nominated this year for that category. It's systematic. It's a 95% white voting body that year after year, decade after decade, underrepresents the nominees for these awards. And I think that's the bigger ship that is so difficult to turn right now.
Well, and the Oscar president came out frantically last night and said, you know, initially she said, you know, and she's African-American, she said, you know, change is going to be slow, and she realized now she's going to get steamrolled. And so she said, we're going to do it fast, and we're going to have meetings, and we're going to change the membership composition. So I think she kind of sees the handwriting in the wall that this thing's exploding right now. And, yeah, there are – I mean, Spike Lee is asking for a boycott. There are a lot of people now coming out. It's divided. But I don't think the Oscars necessarily wants to be as political now as it's become when they actually have the ceremony. So I think that's why they're kind of frantically moving. But again, I don't want to. I just hope people don't lose sight of what. Just listen again to Jada Pinkett Smith. But listen,
okay,
and think about this: is she really asking for a boycott? Because she's not. It's
all right.
It's such an interesting point.
Last question on this topic, Harvey, and that is, do you think the Academy is right now delighted or terrified that Chris Rock is their host this year?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, on the one hand, they look less racist if they have a black man hosting the show. On the other hand, he is the kind of guy who will speak his mind and will not be kind to them if he is feeling, you know, feeling the burn on this issue.
He's got to be feeling it, and he's got to address it. But the thing is, it's going to be addressed in a humorous way.
Right.
And I think that's the saving grace for them. And, you know, the criticism is that you pick African-Americans for window dressing, and even though the host is important, it's not a nominee. And, you know, it's the hired help. And that's what a lot of people are kind of saying, that it's just, you know, it, this is just an example where they're trying to appease African-Americans by saying, oh, you can host, you can do this, but we're not going to nominate you. And I think that's why some people are angry. I think Chris Rock's in a bind. He can't go, you know, he can't go militant to the point, you know, he can make his point, and it's going to be biting, but it's still going to be humor.
Hey, ratings are going to be up on the Oscars this year. We know that. All right, let's do one more thing. This is a friend, our friend Harvey Levin on the phone from TMZ.com, and that is, of all the women in the world, why does Chris Hemsworth need to go back to one that he's already had? Right? You're single and you look like Chris Hemsworth. Why are there ever repeats in your life?
Oh, Liam.
Oh, Liam, whichever one it is.
They're both kind of the same.
Yeah, they're both pretty dreamy, right. Yeah.
I can't answer that. you got a point. He loves her, clearly. I mean, look, they were engaged. And
talking about Miley Cyrus, for folks who don't know the dating history of the Hemsworths. Yeah, he was with her. They broke up for a long time, and now it looks like they're back together, and according to your site, maybe even moving in together.
She's wearing the engagement ring again, and on Sunday, she shows up at his house with a U-Haul and friends, and they start moving stuff into his house. And to me, it's like, okay, I can even get moving into his house. What I don't get is, she's got so much money. Why is she not hiring a moving company?
Why is she doing it herself?
U-Haul?
Well, because most of it is a petting zoo, and she has to be very careful with those animals. That's why.
She's got to supervise it herself. That's a good point, Kevin. All right, Harvey, before we let you go, of course, the OG TMZ throughout the day on Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, also on Fox 11. And TMZ Sports is Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. But for folks who haven't yet checked out South of Wilshire, give us the 30-second plug.
It's on my Fox, Channel 13, 5:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, and it's a game show that's so different and so fun, and we go to Compton and Inglewood and Baldwin Hills and talk to people about celebrities who come in there, and you have to guess who they are, and we play the game in a soul food restaurant on Crenshaw, Doolin's, and it's so fun. Have you guys been able to see it?
Yes, well, you and I talked about it before. Yeah, I mean, it really is fun. I mean, if you like TMZ, you'll like the show.
It's so fun. Anyway, we're really excited. Thanks for the plug.
You bet, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
You too, guys.
Just announced, I think yesterday, on K-Rock, it's World Tour 2016, destination number one. This time we are sending you to Tokyo, Japan. You guys ever been to Tokyo?
No, I would love to.
Yep.
I would love to, too. I am so afraid, and I don't mean this in a racist way.
Oh, God.
But I am so afraid they would feel I was Godzilla coming to destroy their city because I'm so big compared to, average Japanese person, right?
To the average person.
Well,
you're
I'm just saying.
Even to regular people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I need to reach out and have them know I'm coming before I just show up on the streets and cause panic. But anyway, we're sending you to Tokyo to see the band 21 Pilots all week long here on K-Rock starting at 9 o'clock. So at 9, that's us, and then noon, 3, 6, and 9, your chance to win tickets to see the band at the Forum. And then you're on the standby boarding list to go to Tokyo again, destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2016.
How are you going to reach out and give them a heads up on that, Bean?
Well, I need a liaison over there.
Oh,
I need somebody, an information officer who can spread the word to the people that I've
got. Gotcha. All right. Let's talk about this this logo in Whitesboro, New York. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. I didn't even know cities had logos anymore.
Oh, yeah. Every city. Almost every city of any size has an official logo. If you go to the courthouse in Los Angeles, there's a City of Los Angeles logo.
Huh. Who knew?
Not you.
Not me. Well, this one's weird because it really does... I mean, I don't know that you can look at it a different way than there's a white guy choking out an Indian.
Yeah, it's definitely a white guy choking an Indian. That's it,
right? Yeah. There's no other way to try and interpret it.
Well, now, hold on a second. I know that this is controversial and that repeatedly over the past few years, there have been petitions and people have been trying to get them to change their logo that they've had for hundreds of years. But isn't it just this was a friendly wrestling competition when the white man moved into that area where the Hudson Mohawk Indians lived?
Well, I mean, that is how Americans took the country, is they just had a nice little fun wrestling event.
Look, here's what I'm saying. Race topics are always controversial,
right,
and we don't always know what's up. And that's why we have a resource that the company has arranged for us that we can go to. And here's our friend Bruce Endicott, who joins us on the phone from the organization Coffee. Bruce has been very helpful to help us get through these thorny stories in the past. Hi, Mr. Endicott. Happy New Year. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you? Great to be on the show again.
Thank you. And coffee again, sir, for folks who don't know.
Yes. Coffee is an organization whose main purpose is to reach out across boundaries between race, religion, sex. It's primarily an affluent Protestant group of us men who get together and try to, you know, let other people know how minorities feel. And it stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone, Coffee.
Right, but wouldn't a more diverse group at Coffee be better in terms of the public relations work that the organization does? No.
I think it's easier for affluent white people to hear the bad news from other affluent white people.
Okay, all right. Setting that aside, let's talk about Whitesboro, New York.
Now, Whitesboro,
is the name itself problematic to you at all, Bruce?
I don't believe so. Okay. White is simply a color, doesn't necessarily denote race.
Right.
And the residents in Whitesboro, New York, I believe, have a legitimate explanation for their seal, which is a white man simply having some playful wrestling with a Native American.
Where do you get the playful part of it? Because it just looks like he's choking him. He's got his hands around his throat, and he's clearly winning.
His hands are in the throat region.
Right.
But you could just as easily say he was doing it sort of some sort of judo hold on him or something, and it was just they were just wrestling to prove their manhood, as was often done in the 1700s.
Okay, but knowing how it ended up for the Indians in that region, that they lost all of their land to Whitey, I just feel like this would be a painful reminder of that.
Well, look, it's not the white man's fault that the red man wasn't a good wrestler. they can't be held responsible for that, and I don't believe the people of Whitesboro should be held responsible.
Right, but should their logo represent that? I mean, they did re-vote, and they were perfectly fine with it. They said, nope, we like it the way it is.
Because people are simply misunderstanding what the logo is. That's my point. Sometimes people can see a fence where there is none. There's many cases like that across the United States. For example, the city seal of Clansville, South Carolina, simply shows a white man helping a black man decorate his front lawn with a religious symbol.
Okay. Man.
It's
so
a shining,
ugly,
bright,
Bruce,
fiery cross.
What is wrong with
lawn.
You
and
can't
it's
celebrate
neighbor
that.
Helping neighbor. It's let me help you
What's
decorate your front lawn
you?
By putting this cross
that's
on there.
That's not... Oh.
That's your, it's a simple
so,
explanation.
Maybe you need to do a little more research.
I think the people in Waspington, Arizona have a similar situation there.
What city?
Waspington.
Waspington, yes. Where their city seal is a Mexican guy with a Ghostbusters cross through his face.
Okay.
And that's saying we don't see color here. We
no, that's
we
not what it says.
We
I think it's
don't
saying
judge
no
people
Mexicans.
On race. We are saying no to judging people by the color of their skin. We just choose not to. And I believe some people misinterpret that symbol.
But you can see how that looks like no Mexicans, though, right?
I think the people in Crackerton, Indiana also have situations that is misunderstood.
Right.
They're trying to simply show how they are completely okay with any sort of sexual activity by showing whips and chains. And of course, you know, a slave ship in the background. But I believe that what they're trying to indicate is if you're into S&M or BDM or whatever the heck is going on, that they're okay with that. They're showing how inclusive they are to all kinds of sexuality.
America has a lot of painful parts to its history, and they need to be put in the past and not thrown in everybody's face all the time.
We need to forgive and understand that not everything is as it appears to be. Ask the people in Arianburg, Tennessee. Whose city symbol is just simply a white thumbs up. I mean, they're just saying, yes, I'm happy with that. And the people in Mount Redneck, Florida, for example.
Right.
Their city symbol is a jar of mayonnaise and a black guy in some crosshairs.
Oh.
And they're saying we are targeting racism and who wants some mayonnaise?
That's not right.
I'm with you. I'm not a big mayonnaise fan.
I don't know what to do with them. I mean, what's the answer? Ralph, what's the answer? I don't know what to do.
What are we talking about, you guys? What's
up? You.
quarantine.
Quarantine, yes.
I bring interesting facts to the attention
Define
of
interesting.
The room. Interesting facts to the attention of the room, and this is the thanks I get.
We're asking you to stop. Does that? We've asked you for years. Does it matter? You don't care. You don't listen. Why should we?
I do care. I'm trying to get along here.
You're not.
I think it's you.
I think it's you.
My friend sent me a picture of his daughter pulling out her tooth with a bow and arrow. What are we supposed to do with that?
That's an interesting story from somebody that we know. I thought that might be a fun topic to talk about on the show because lots of people, there are lots of videos on YouTube of people pulling out their kids' teeth with doors, with cars, with guns, with everything. I think that's a, kind of an interesting and fun way to go.
I'd like to see the video of the family that's pulling out their kid's tooth with a gun.
With a gun. How do they do that? How does that work?
Please send me the link to the shooting the tooth out with a gun video.
I'm just saying there are lots of different ways that people are doing it. I thought it was interesting.
Is with the gun one of them?
I you made up with a gun, though.
That was one of your prime examples. I would like to have some confirmation on pulling out the loose tooth with the gun video.
I'm for sure about the door and the car.
But the gun.
I'm not 100%
You gave three examples. One of them was a gun.
One of them was false. So what kind of phone job are we going to have where two, one out of three of your examples is already crap?
Okay, I was just throwing it out there. It wasn't fully fleshed out. It was just a starting point for a discussion.
Well,
I think there's
go get some flesh.
I thought there might be some room to work with it.
Asshole.
All right. I don't think that's necessary. Let's take another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday with Ralph Garman. 6:54. What's going on?
It's Tuesday. It's new release day for DVDs, not for music. Music's now on Fridays.
Yeah.
If you want to get new
I'm
music,
good with that, by the way, too.
I'm fine
Feels
it.
Good.
I prefer it.
Same.
I have the whole weekend to enjoy my new music.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you're wrong.
Straight Out of Compton. Finally on DVD if you want to check that out. Paul Giamatti and some black guys apparently are in that video, according to the Oscars.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, that they said, yeah. Everest, Josh Brolin and Keira Knightley, I'm assuming climb a mountain? Gem and the Holograms. Oh,
yeah.
Would you like to see the one of the most talked about films of the year? And when I say talked about, I mean insulted.
It made like $17 at the
Yeah, it was a failure on every possible level.
Yeah. Didn't they pull it from theaters after a week, if
they
I
did.
Remember correctly?
They did. Out of embarrassment, they decided to just burn all the prints of that film, and they took them out of theaters.
And
with
it started
a gun. They took them out of theaters with a gun.
With a gun.
I got the video.
How
yes.
did they do that?
You should go on YouTube. It's called Taking Out the Movie with a Gun.
Wow. Ralph, it starred our girl who plays Layla on Nashville.
Aubrey Peoples.
So talented.
Aubrey Peoples from Nashville stars in that.
Just
yes.
a miss, though.
It's not everything is good, turns out.
Good tip.
The Diary of a Teenage Girl with Christopher Maloney and Kristen Wiig. I don't know what this is, but I like both of them.
Same.
And All Things Must Pass, our friend Colin Hanks' documentary on the rise and fall of Tower Records.
So that was great.
Yeah.
It's available on DVD if you didn't happen to catch it online or streaming or what have you. So there you go. Oh, by the way, also,
with a gun.
Swamp People Season 6 is available.
Yes, Season 6.
I know, Kevin, you've been waiting for Season 6. I wanted to give you the heads
the good
up
one.
That you can finally catch up on all the Swamp People. Not sure who they are or what they do, but
I assume every episode is exactly the same. I'm
guessing they're living in a swamp these days.
Guys, I'm on YouTube right now. There are
about
a dozen that have come up of kids pulling out their teeth with Nerf guns.
Okay, Nerf gun, not gun.
Okay.
Different.
Did you think? So you're trying to tell us now what you meant was
no
gun when you were saying gun.
I was speaking extemporaneously, and I may have misrepresented videos that I had seen in the past. But Nerf gun apparently is what's being used.
Is that on you?
I think that's mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying. That's important.
But here's what I'm saying to you guys.
Oh, my
it's,
sweet Lord.
No. It's a trend. It has become
ultra. Info Bean.
Just like proposal
That's
videos
Info Bean.
Have to be the biggest thing ever now, ultra competitive.
Info Bean.
Kids tooth pulling is now a thing. That's the point.
Ultra competitive tooth pulling is a thing.
It
is a thing.
I believe it's going to be at the Olympics, not as a medal event, but it is going to be. At least demonstrated at the Olympics coming
Here's
up.
Here's a video of a girl using a sling bow. Here's one using a parrot. Here's one using a quadcopter, which is like a drone.
Parrot?
I'm telling you guys.
A
this is
a, Did you say
this
parrot?
Is a, yes.
Right,
Here's
I'm
one
in.
Using a rocket, a sports car, a remote control car, your dog, attaching a
string. My dog?
To your dog.
How did they get my dog?
Oh.
Here's one with a javelin. I'm telling you, it's a thing, you guys. Get on board. We're already late to this.
The luckiest man in the world is Glenn Frey today.
Because he doesn't have to listen to this?
Doesn't have to listen to Bean anymore. Just dawned on me how much I envy Glenn Frey. Eagles guitarist and founding member, songwriter, singer. Passed away at the age of 67 yesterday. He was a big influence on rock, what they call the California sound that came out of rock and roll in the 70s and 80s, along with his sometimes friend, Don Henley. They worked together on songs like Hotel California and Desperado and Tequila Sunrise, Take It Easy, won 6 Grammys during its run, inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. And sad news, he passed away from a combination of rheumatoid arthritis, acute ulcerative colitis, and pneumonia, which all sounds bad.
Yeah. How old was he?
He was only 67 years old. So, more sad news coming out of the music industry. Boy, it's just been a bad, bad couple weeks for people who like rock and roll and popular music. And you got to feel bad for Tila Tequila, right?
Nope, I don't.
Come on.
Not even a little bit.
Is there new info that should...
Well, she's having trouble raising her rent, Kevin. She can't afford her rent.
Kickstarter?
Oh, yeah. She went to GoFundMe.
Sure.
To ask all of her fans to kick in and pay for her rent and her new furniture.
Wrong.
Because she's, you know, she's having a hard time making a living.
Right.
And she says she's not embarrassed by asking people to pay for her rent because she'll do anything to support her daughter. Except apparently get a job. What? That's the only thing she won't do to raise her daughter. By the way, she has raised over $5,000 online.
Wow.
But she promised to give everyone that helps her a personal phone call after she's all settled in with her new furniture.
That's so nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's great.
What the serious F is going on when people are giving her money?
Yeah, $5,000. I don't know.
I'll do anything to help my kids, so I need to pay rent and have furniture, so give me money. Says Tila Tequila.
Wow.
I mean, I guess there are guys out there who are just attracted to, she was famous at one time, and they think
she'll
flash her boobs at them or something. I mean, I can't imagine why anyone would contribute. She needs to get a job. That's what needs to happen. That's the one thing she's not suggesting.
Hot take. If only Ralph had said that at the start.
If that wasn't the opening joke to the story, where she'll do anything to support her daughter except get a job.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
My thought is she needs to get a job.
Do you think, though?
That's my thought.
Okay.
She took out her last job with a gun, I understand. That's how she lost her last job. I saw a video. It was a Nerf gun, but still. Let's just today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Sure.
Shall we just let's?
Uh-huh.
Let's.
Dolly Parton, 70, right? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Of course you can't.
There's no bell for Dolly with you. Parton. There's no bell. You can't give her a bell.
She's very sexy.
Come on, for God's sake.
I mean, she's an older woman, obviously, but she's still very, very attractive and very pretty.
When do we start giving cartoon characters bells? That's what I want to know. Katie Seagal, 62.
All right, how about Katie Seagal?
I think she gets a bell.
I think she's very pretty. Too old for you, Kevin? Are you cool?
I'm afraid of her. Give her a bell.
Paul Rodriguez, the comedian, 61. Sean Wayans is 45. Drea Di Matteo, who is on Shades of Blue right now with Jennifer Lopez and Ray Liotta. She's great on it. She's 44 years old. Our buddy Frank Caliendo, funny man and impressionist extraordinaire, is 42 years old today. Actress Jodie Sweetin. She's from Fuller House now, right? Isn't that what she's
doing? Yeah.
Yep. 34 years old. And actor Logan Lerman celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is going to be a big week on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. We've got a couple of actors from Legends of Tomorrow, which is preparing Thursday night. We've got Arthur Darvill, who plays Rip Hunter. Also, Katie Lotz, who plays White Canary, both on the program this week. Former Doctor Who Matt Smith is going to be here. We'll talk to Jim Rome. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, will be joining us on Friday. That airs this weekend. And Zach Galifianakis. How long has it been since we had Zach Galifianakis on the show? Forever, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be fun. He's got Baskets premiering this week and comedian Noel Fielding later on today. So a lot of good stuff coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Let's talk about roommates. This is a bad sign. Your roommate's having sex with cups, with glasses.
I'm sorry?
With glasses and cups. They start going missing.
Uh-huh.
And in this particular case, the guy's like, hey, where are all of my cups going? Apparently, How can I describe this safely? A sponge is put into the cup so that it makes a better... Maybe you should have a run at this, Bean.
What are you trying to say, Kevin?
I'm trying to say the guy has sex with a cup.
Right, I understand that. And so what's the sponge part? Is it when it makes sure the cup doesn't get pregnant? What's happening here?
I think it's to help. I'm not positive.
Like friction?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think a cup on its own. Here's the point. If you have a roommate who's having sex with items in your house, I assume that would be bad. Especially items that you drink out of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, there's no amount of dishwasher, hot water sterilization that ever makes me want to use that cup again once I know where it's
going. Not to mention, I'm a roommate with a person who's doing this. Yeah. Like, what? How does that come to your mind?
Look, here's the thing. Muggs, I'm glad you're here because I can't imagine. You've got to be the bad roommate in all your stories,
how
right?
How dare you?
I can't imagine what a nightmare you must be living with.
Dare
but
you?
Here's the thing, and we've all had roommates. Is there anyone in here who hasn't had roommates at some point growing up, college, early, you know, days? I mean, you
all
do.
Have.
You have roommates, right? The sex part has got to be the toughest part to negotiate the privacy and the courtesy angle. Because it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen, and it's uncomfortable, and nobody wants their roommates to be having sex, but it's going to happen, and it's okay. It should be allowed to happen.
But at least in this case, you know that the cup is not going to make any noise.
right, exactly.
But hopefully.
But how do you navigate that? I mean, is it just you're only allowed to do it when I'm at work? Or you're not allowed to do it when I'm asleep? Or you're only allowed to do it, you know, if you put a tie on the door? I mean, how do you navigate through those thorny waters of having roommates? That's the toughest part. And, you know, a lot of times people aren't as maybe considerate about that as they should be.
All right, we're going to take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 of bad roommates. Muggs is in here.
Yeah.
You were complaining about what?
Well, my roommate back in the day, he was pretty much Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Oh.
So he would bring home a lucky contestant pretty much every night.
A different one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would proceed to have sex all hours of the night up until like 3 or 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And not quiet sex,
right,
mind you. Very, very loud headboard hitting the wall sex. Oh. The contestant, would moan very loudly.
Go on.
Okay.
And this proceeded to happen weeks and weeks on end until I finally had to tell him, look, I wake up really early in the morning. Is there
now,
any
is
way-
this, excuse me, Muggs. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is this while you have this job?
Yeah, this is 2012. Yeah.
Okay, you're getting up for this job. So sleep is at a premium, and he knows that you have to get up around 4:30 in the morning to do this job.
Yes, he does. He
but
knows
that doesn't stop him from making nothing but noise at 1, 2, 3 a.m.
And exactly, and it wasn't really coming from him, although he was he was the cause of it. You
we
know
understand
I mean?
How it works.
But anyway, I had to tell him. I was like, look, I got to get up early in the morning. Is there any way you could have quieter sex at least? And he still did it up until he moved out, which was a happy day.
Did you have to kick him out or did he just move on?
He just moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The calls that we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067, Kevin, are we looking for sex-related calls? Like, that's the problem? Or can it be anything with, you can't believe how terrible my roommate was?
Oh, I think it could be anything because people are terrible.
Oh, okay. I had another one.
Hold on. Muggs has another one.
I had another one who wouldn't do his head cleaning duties. He wouldn't clean the bathroom.
Head clean.
He would never.
You know, from Muggs' years in the service,
yes,
he can't.
In the Marines.
He can't resist sliding back into that lingo.
If I was in the Army, he never cleaned the latrine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're asking for calls. I wonder who's answering those.
But I mean, Muggs, you tell it poorly. But I mean, that is an actual area of real friction between roommates. You got to be with somebody who is comfortable with your level of cleanliness.
Or,
what I mean? You can't have a super A type personality with somebody who's just a slob. That's not going to work.
I mean, if
that would be an odd couple, Bean.
if you were a slob, you're right, Bean. If you were a slob, at least do your part to clean up after yourself. Because I would get mad when I would clean the bathroom and it would be clean. And then in 2 weeks, he would not do anything. And just disgustingness would build up and I'd have to clean the bathroom again when it was his
turn. Disgustingness would build up?
What's the common denominator in all these bad roommate stories that bugs us?
Dare
you? Asking for people to call. Who's answering the phones?
Let's try Bert. He's on line one. He's in the city of industry. He can get us started here. 1-800-520-1067. Bert, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Bad roommates are the topic. What up?
Yes. I had a problem with a roommate a long time ago. It's like we would have only one bathroom. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the morning I'd wake up.
Oh, good morning.
Why? Yeah. Did you ever ask him why?
Nah, he just said, I would forget. But then later on, I told him, okay, there'll be a $5 fee if that were to happen again.
Well, not enough.
I would find $5 left on the floor, and I would already know, great, I'm going to have to flush the toilet before I even use it. But obviously, the lid will already be up.
Do you think that was, I mean, honestly, I'm trying to figure this out. Did he have some, was it like a charge for him knowing that he was making you see that, do you think?
Ooh.
I mean, why else would he do it?
It was just being funny. It was just being obnoxious.
Oh, my God.
You knew it drove you crazy, and so he did it.
Yeah. So,
and how long did you let that go on?
I applaud that.
Was that a deal breaker for you?
We raised it up to $20. If $10 wasn't enough, $20, that was making an impact already.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
But then
thank
every once in a while, he'd go, you know what? That was a 20. That was a 20 spot. I'm willing to take that one.
I don't want to go to Dave yet. He's got another poop-related story. Let's go to Kristen, please. Line 4. Kristen is calling us in Hollywood. We're talking about awful roommates. Everyone's had them. Kristen, what was yours all about?
Hi. So I had a roommate who, God bless her, she was probably an alcoholic, so now I feel really bad. But she would get drunk every so often, and her thing was to go through our cabinet and just wipe all the plates onto the ground. So I had to buy plates every so often.
Why would she break your plates just because she was drunk?
I don't know. She just liked watching the world burn, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Was she Greek?
No.
You know, because Greek and Opa, and then you throw the plates.
But no, I thought that was more like for celebrations.
Well, she was celebrating.
I don't think Oprah is Greek, first of all.
Dirty girl from Philly.
Yeah. Well, that explains
it's Philly. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Kristen, thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Dave, you hang on. Austin will try to get to you and Johnny as well. And your call's right after this on K-Rock. We saw a story over the weekend about a guy who couldn't figure out why all the glasses and cups in his kitchen were disappearing until he tracked them down to his roommate's room and found out that they had been being used as sexual partners. You put a sponge in there, warm it up in the microwave, I'm told, and you got yourself a girlfriend.
I'm sorry, you're told?
I'm told. I heard. I read once. So we're taking your calls on bad roommates at 1-800-520-1067. We also heard from a listener who had a roommate who never flushed the toilet. Beer Mug lived with someone who had nasty, loud sex all night long, every night. So it's a lot of fun living with people. Why don't we start with Sage on line 4, please? She's in Los Angeles. She's got a story for us.
Hey, Sage.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. What happened? What happened with your roommate?
I had a crazy roommate who did a lot of crazy things, but one of the craziest was he would pick up crack whores under the underpass, freeway underpass near a house, and bring them home, you know, without telling any of his roommates. Then they would go into the bathroom for quite a while, not sure what they were doing in there.
Uh-huh.
Then they would come out, and he would load up, like, a paper bag full of groceries, like, from our fridge, like canned food items, and then the crack whore would leave.
He was paying them in food.
Yes.
But he didn't want to let them into his bedroom.
No, just the bathroom.
That is something else. I mean, he's economical.
Bean respects that.
I think I will allow it. I'm sorry, Sage. Game recognized game, but thank you for the call. Let's try Austin Irvine, line 1, next on the Kevin DeBede Show. Hey, Austin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Tell us about your roommate.
So I had this one roommate in college in a house of about 7 guys, and, he didn't really use the bathroom, but he was such a slob and such a big stoner, he would wake up in the middle of the night and wouldn't want to make the walk to the bathroom, and albeit he slept in the open loft area between the rooms upstairs, and he would use his water bottles and relieve himself into them and then leave them all scattered throughout the open area.
And how far was it literally from his bed to the bathroom?
You could step
2 feet out of the end of the bed and be in it. And
wow.
Standing over the toilet. And that wasn't even the worst. We found a trail of ants to his pile of clothes in the closet. And upon picking up the clothes, there was a box with half a pizza in there and thousands and thousands of ants under the clothes. Like, what is wrong with you? Oh, my God.
Who's hungry?
Do you guys think in general, and there are lots of exceptions, that guys are worse to live with than girls?
Absolutely.
I would think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Just in terms of basic cleanliness, you think girls win most of the time?
Just think of Psycho Mike.
Oh.
Right?
Harder for...
yeah. Right. Harder Thank you for the call, Austin. We appreciate that. Mike was the bad roommate when he used to tell us stories,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything he did was horrible. But he did it because it would drive the roommate crazy, so...
Miguel writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, by the way, I used to live with a guy who slept with a loaded gun under his pillow every night. Mm. Every night I was convinced something would happen and I would get shot. Yeah, that would be a little bit terrifying. It's one thing to have a gun in the house for protection. Loaded gun under the pillow when you're asleep, it's potentially dangerous. All right, we got time for one more. What do you like?
Let's do Leslie in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, yeah, good morning.
Hi, welcome to the show. You had a terrible roommate?
Yeah, so we had a roommate. He also used to stash cups in his room, so now I'm a little curious.
Yep, now you know why.
Yeah, apparently. So he disappeared for a few days, and it turns out he'd been arrested for an outstanding warrant. And so he posted bail, but he lost his job because he was in jail for a few days, and so he wasn't able to pay bail. So one day he was out of town, I think in like Ohio or something, with some band buddies, and bounty hunters come bursting through our door at midnight. They're yelling, screaming, they've got a camera.
Get on the floor, get on the floor, everybody now!
Yeah, they were running around screaming his name, like looking through the closets, under beds, just tearing through the house. And I had just gotten off work, and I work at an amusement park, and so I was wearing this ridiculous costume, and I'm just screaming at them, calling the police. Like, this went on for, like, 20 minutes, and it turns out that, like, he was wanted for identity theft and owed, like, $50,000.
Wow.
And, like, it was crazy, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there is a lot of other issues with this guy, too, but that one just kind of took the cake.
Yeah, I feel like you win.
So. Yeah. But you know what? Some of these other stories I'm listening to make me feel a little bit better about it. At least he didn't have any loaded guns in the house.
Exactly.
So. All right. Yeah.
All right. Great call. Thanks so much, Leslie.
Donald Trump is the best. Is that what we're saying?
I don't think so.
All right.
Donald Trump is the best.
I have a couple things to say about this. Kevin Beecher, world famous K-Rock, thanks a lot for tuning in. Noel Fielding is going to be joining us, very funny comedian, coming up next hour, along with The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petras. I saw something that somebody put together over the weekend that is a Donald Trump commercial, a fan-made Donald Trump commercial, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They might have, I don't know if they were mocking, you tell me. This commercial is called Donald Trump Wants to Know What the Hell is Going On.
We have to figure out what's going on.
There's something going on, and it's bad.
There's a problem. There's something wrong. Something's going on. We've got to figure out what's going on.
Bomb, 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 bomb. We have to find out what's going on.
I called the mayor. I said, what's going on?
What's going on?
What is going on, Mika?
President Obama, where he refuses even to use the term of what's going on.
I said, what's going on?
We have to find out what is going on.
What the hell is going on?
What's going on? What's going on? That's a pretty good campaign ad for Donald Trump, because finally we have a guy who's willing to find out what's going on, okay? And then I thought, why would anyone have to make up a commercial for Donald Trump when he has the USA Freedom Kids that we talked about at the end of last week? They debuted them at a rally in Florida. I want to say in Pensacola, Florida. These are three little girls. One is named 8 years old. She is Bianca. One is named Izzy, and the other is named Alexis. And their dad, who represents them and wrote the song we're about to hear for them, is named Jeff Popick. And they were brought on board to perform at the Donald Trump rally. And we posted this video all over social media in recent days, and I hope you've had a chance to see it, because you've never seen anything that looks more like a North Korean rally.
Yeah.
These little girls singing these lyrics that they can't possibly understand, they might as well be singing about their dear leader. Could we hear a little bit about the Trump jam, please?
Cowardice. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. Words
shoulders, USA. Enemies of freedom.
This is a parody, though.
No!
This is real.
This is a fan-made
thing.
No!
What?
This is authorized by the candidate.
Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Heal from strength or get crushed every time.
You laugh. This is terrifying. It is this terrifying.
And by that you mean awesome.
No.
Over here. USA. Over there. USA. Freedom and liberty everywhere.
Okay. Another like 5 minutes if you need
it. Yeah, I think that's enough. God. The important thing, you guys, is that President Donald Trump knows how to make America great because he will deal from strength or get crushed every time. That's why we are going to elect him the next president of the United States, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right
now.
Mr.
is the greatest song I have ever heard.
I thought you might like that, Mr. Trump.
Girls, the Nazi Youth for Freedom girls, they're amazing. They're talented, and they're right. They're not wrong. They don't. What's going on?
What is going on? But the lyrics, Mr. Trump, no offense, but cowardice, are you serious? Apologies for freedom? I can't handle this. That is just terrible songwriting, though.
Are you serious about cowardice? No.
It's terrible.
We're going to come from a place of strength. We're going to make America great again, because that's what I do.
Right. Uh-huh. These little girls are out there in their red, white, and blue outfits. And by the way, Donald, if I can call you that, the crowd just ate it up. They are standing and hooting and hollering with their hands on their hearts.
Yes, they love it, and they love America. And I do, too. That's why we're going to be great again. Not for, like, people like you who don't want America to be great because you hate America, apparently, and patriotism.
No, not at all.
But for the rest of us who still love our country, it's going to be a great thing. Because that's what it's going to be, a great thing. Because I have all the greatest things.
Along with the best words,
and
too.
And the best words.
Right. You don't have the best lyrics, though. That was kind of weak.
The lyrics are wonderful.
I got to be honest, that was kind of weak.
They're the greatest lyrics.
Okay.
Everyone loves them.
All right.
I've been looking at all the polls, and everyone loves the lyrics.
Okay.
We polled the lyrics?
I did.
Okay.
I polled people and said, what do you think about that song? And they said, the little girls are great. They're super, super talented.
Uh-huh.
And the lyrics are wonderful.
Wow. Huh.
And people love the song.
Right.
And we're going to do more of them because people love them.
You're going to make those girls do more songs?
I'm writing them right now.
Wait, you're writing them?
Yes, because I realized the first song is good. Don't get me wrong. It's good.
Okay.
But I know what I want to say better than anybody.
Right.
Sure.
So why don't I write the songs for the little freedom zombies to sing? And that way it'll be my words coming out of their tiny little white holes.
Okay. Ooh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. So what kind of songs are you writing? Something similar to this?
Yes,
kind of bouncing?
American songs.
Okay.
Songs for America. Not songs you would like, probably, because of communism. But songs that Americans will like because they're American songs.
Can we hear it?
They're patriotic, and the lyrics speak to the problems of the country.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just working on a couple ideas. Let me run them past you, see what you think.
Fantastic.
Okay.
I'm sure you're going to love them because everybody loves them.
Right. Okay.
This country is for me, not those in poverty. Show me the bling. That's right. People love bling.
I don't
rich
think...
people. I'm very, very rich.
You're rich,
but,
yes.
But
how can you run
no
on...
idea how much money I have.
Right,
it's
you do mention it.
Amount
you mention
of money.
It, yeah. But you can't run on telling poor people they're bad and rich people need to show you the bling. That can't be your campaign.
Nobody wants to be poor. Everybody wants to be rich.
Okay.
Good
right.
point.
That is the truth.
Okay.
Listen to the woman. Sometimes they say good things. Sometimes women open their mouths and good things come out.
But not often, though, right?
Not often, but it happens.
Okay. Oh, for the love.
Here's another one of my brand-new campaign songs I'm working on, and I think it's terrific. God bless America. Land that I love. And I mean my God, not the Muslim God.
Oh.
Or the Indian one that has all those different arms. Not the good God, not those other gods.
Mr. Trump, you're not going to be singing these songs yourself, though, right? You're going to hand that off.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. Because people love me. They love when I talk. Why wouldn't they love me when I sing? I'll let the little Freedom Broads back me up on that.
Freedom Broads?
Here's another one I think will work.
Okay. More.
Oh, say, can you see why the Muslims are bad? And we should keep them out of our country until we can figure out this whole ISIS thing.
What's going on with ISIS? We need to figure it out. What's going on there?
Okay, but you know that lots of Muslims are Americans, right? You know that.
Little 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph, I'm very excited about you and P and the Bachelor Report today. Should I be excited?
Wait.
Was it a great Bachelor? Like,
it's always
like usual.
A great Bachelor.
Okay, so I won't be disappointed then.
It's never bad. It's always excellent.
Am I going to learn about hashtag Laceface coming up in a few minutes?
You'll probably learn about Laceface, yeah.
All right, I'm very excited about that. All right, just after 8, The Bachelor Report, and then comedian Noel Fielding will be here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Another star in the rock and roll firmament has gone out. Glenn Frey, Eagles guitarist, songwriter, singer, founding member of the band, passed away at the age of 67 yesterday. The comedy tuba. A lot of people pointed out that Bean must really like David Bowie because he didn't play the comedy tuba when David Bowie died.
I noticed that.
It was
too.
The only person ever he's never heard the comedy tuba.
He plays the comedy tuba for anyone.
Anyone. Princess Diana.
Yeah, anybody.
Remember when my mom died?
Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Yeah. Not for Bowie.
Bean?
I don't know.
Conscious thought?
Where are you guys on the comedy tuba? I still find it funny. But I do
know. Well, we know you do because you're soulless. But
there are some.
So we're surprised that you would have any sort of differentiation between when you're soulless and when you're not.
Yeah, the only thing we knew was 100% of the time you would play it.
Right.
Now that we know that you're picking and choosing, then it's going to be terrible when you play it for somebody.
It makes everything else look worse because apparently there are some exceptions where you have a conscience and a heart.
People were really, really hurting over Bowie. Really hurting.
Right.
A lot of our listeners.
As they are about a lot of different people when you play the death tuba.
Right.
All right. So death tuba always. Got it. All right. Move on.
Always or never. That's all I'm saying. Always or never.
Ton of hits. Ton of awards. They've won multiple Grammys. The Eagles have. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. American Music Awards. Of course, the hits. Hotel California. Desperado. Take It Easy. Tequila Sunrise. Lion Eyes. Heartache Tonight. You don't have to go through the entire list of Eagles songs to know what a smash hit band they were. And even his longtime partner and sometimes enemy, Don Henley, wrote nice things about him in a statement saying, "He was like a brother to me. We were family. Like most families, there was some dysfunction, but the bond we forged 45 years ago was never broken. We were two young men who made the pilgrimage to Los Angeles with the same dream, to make our mark in the music industry. And we built something that lasted longer than anyone could have dreamed of." So, nice words from Don Henley as he says goodbye to his longtime collaborator and friend.
I believe, by the way, Ralph, that the Eagles' Greatest Hits, their first Greatest Hits, is right now the best-selling album of all time.
Ahead
of Thriller.
I believe you're right. Speaking of best-selling, Star Wars The Force Awakens just passed the $100 million mark in China. So that's good news for the total box office worldwide for The Force Awakens. It has currently passed the $1.86 billion mark, making it the third highest money-making film in the world. I don't believe that has anything to do
with that. Not?
Okay. Tube of Death. So, it's got a shot. It's got a real shot to take over the number one slot. It dropped off significantly after its opening weekend in China, however. People are kind of confused. Broke records its opening weekend and then dropped off considerably. So, they've got a bunch of other markets still to conquer. But everyone seems to think that it's going to happen. Lemmy, of course, late frontman and bassist for Motorhead, still getting accolades coming his way. And I think this one is more than appropriate because no one, I think, drank more Jack Daniels than Lemmy did. And so as an honor, the Jack Daniels Distillery folks have chosen to pay tribute to Lemmy with his own bottle. The Lemmy Jack Daniels bottle will be available soon.
All right. How many of those do they have, Ralph? Do you know? I know Sinatra's got one. But
as far as I know, it's just Sinatra and now Lemmy.
Wow.
And, of course, when I go, they'll make one for me.
Yeah. Well, they certainly should.
Yes. This is in response to a petition that was trying to get Jack Daniels to change the name of the drink Jack and Coke to the Lemmy. And they said, no, that's stupid. So what we will do is we will offer a commemorative Lemmy bottle of Jack Daniels, which I think is a better tribute than, let's call it Jack and Coke the Lemmy. Dumb.
Wait, that was Kevin who made
Kevin's
that request?
Idea, yes. And, you know, I love Pally Fest.
Yes, oh, it's you the best. Do.
Pally Fest. Pally Fest, for those of you who aren't in the know, is the Pally Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. Every year they put together the Pally Fest, which is an evening, several evenings of television celebration, where they get the casts and creators of your favorite TV shows, and you get to hear them talk about their television programs. There's also Q&As, and it's always great. And they tribute TV shows past and present. And it's a great lineup once again this year for Pally Fest. If you want to go, what you should do is go to pallyfest.org, their website, and then sign up and become a member of the Pally Center for Media, because not only do you get a chance to go to the museum there in Beverly Hills and check out all their cool library and programs and stuff, but you get first dibs at these tickets because it always sells out. But here's your lineup this year. First, I know Allie will be there the first night, March 11th. Empire being celebrated. Cast and creators of Empire will be there. Scream Queens follows on March the 12th. Then Blackish. Supergirl is going to get its own evening with. Nice. The Big Bang Theory. Fear the Walking Dead. A Salute to Dick Wolf. Power. Anyone?
Power.
It's the only show I'm not really familiar with.
Did you say
with.
Power?
Power.
I've heard
I love
of
Power.
That. What is it, Dave?
It's a gangster show on Stars. Produced by 50 Cent.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
There you
sure,
go.
Sure, sure.
And then American Horror Story Hotel, rounding out the last evening of the fest. So if you'd like to go, once again, tickets can be found at paleyfest.org.
It's www.
No, it's just paleyfest.org, right?
Nope. Dot yeah. Facebook.
No, it's just paley.
Dot com. Fest.
Not the Facebook.
Dot
slash.
Org.
R, and then all one word.
It's not one. R is not a word.
K-R-O-Q.
It's not it's a
W-W
part of it.
What?
Dot no, Facebook.
It's
dot
not the Facebook.
It's not even on Facebook. It's just on the web.
R-O-T-R-K-R-O-Q.
Okay. He sounds confused, I think.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dolly Parton is 70. Katie Sagal is 62. Comedian Paul Rodriguez is 61. Sean Wayans turns 45. Drea Di Matteo, who's so good over there on Shades of Blue right now, 44 years old. Did you watch the second episode, Kevin? You followed up on
Shades
of Blue?
I did not.
Oh. No. Gets better.
First one I love, though.
Gets better.
Yeah, can't wait.
Frank Caliendo's 42. Jody Sweetin is 34. And Logan Lerman celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is it or is it not still raining, Ben?
Of course it is.
Then
it's
hit it, Steve.
Raining, Ben.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman. And they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying hallelujah.
Woo!
Is that Petros singing along? Do I hear a little joy in his voice today about this week's Bachelor Report?
Yes, you did.
I loved it last night. Action-packed episode.
Right, P? Full of action, love, drama, insanity, everything you want in The Bachelor.
And I think Jubilee's going to murder him.
Oh, yeah. She's just sucking him in so she can just roll him and take his kidney and leave him in a bathtub full of ice.
Wow. Looks like we got some catching up to do.
Now, first of all, front runner Olivia, who early on in the show, everyone seemed to think she was the one. She's a little crazy, too, I think, Pete.
A little.
Aren't they all crazy?
Yeah, but some are crazier than others.
Varying degrees of crazy.
All right. Olivia's already calling Ben her husband.
Okay.
After 3 weeks, if that means anything.
Okay.
She's trying to take ownership like he was like a pack of garbage pail kids on the playground or something.
Good reference.
And she has giant, I mean, we're talking about like a space that's like a hammerhead shark. Her eyes are so far apart.
Huh.
And her mouth is the biggest mouth. It's bigger than Julia Roberts' mouth.
Yeah, she's like a Muppet. When she laughs and throws her head back, her entire head hinges open. It's insane.
She's a Pez dispenser.
Now, I think Lauren B. is actually now the front runner, because that date they had on the biplane, P was romantic and lovely.
Lauren H.
Is she H or B?
There's four Lauren.
I know. That's why I'm so confused. Yeah, Lauren B was the one on the biplane.
Oh, okay. It's like going to school at USC where everybody's named Lindsay. It's the worst thing in the world. But, yeah, I like her. She's a flight attendant from Marina Del Rey. The only thing I was thinking about, Ralph, is if you know L.A., as we all do, Marina Del Rey is where all those divorced guys live.
Yeah, it's true.
And you know that she got taken down once or twice at the Cheesecake Factory. Oh, you know, on a lonely night. Yeah. Drinking an apple peenie, all alone.
She's in a layover.
Some bald guy with a goatee living in one of those condos in Marina Del Rey with three kids hiding somewhere in Ohio. Just destroyed that.
Yeah. He had to cancel dates because the kids are visiting. It's his weekend. You're right.
They're taking the kids to Disneyland.
But at least Lauren B. is not as confused as Kayla. Kayla shocked me last night. I don't know if you caught this or not, P. I'm going to play a little piece of audio. But Kayla realized last night, 3 or 4 weeks into the process, that she may be on The Bachelor.
I think right now I'm just kind of taking into account that this is a process. Like, this is a different dating situation. And it's just hitting me that it's not a competition, but that there are other girls here.
It's just hitting her that there are other girls involved.
Wait a minute, it is a competition.
Did she say it's not a competition,
yes,
but there are other girls involved?
That's what she's trying to kid herself into believing.
Well, let's remember that this is the girl who left her boyfriend in Boston last year watching The Bachelor and having feelings for Ben while watching on television, so she decided she had to dump her boyfriend and try for The Bachelor. So she's aware of the show and its format.
Wow.
Apparently, though, it caught her by surprise this week.
It's just hit me.
Then, of course, the big group date was soccer. Oh, who doesn't love soccer, right, P?
You know what? I got to be honest. At first, I felt very upset because I competed in the Coliseum, which is a special place, the L.A. Coliseum, where the L.A. Rams are going to play.
Right.
You had the first Olympics in L.A. there in 1932, another one in 1984. You know, Pope John Paul, the first Super Bowl. And I said, wow, they're going to desecrate this holy place of competition and character with a bunch of chicks playing soccer against each other that aren't, you know, professionals or college or anything like that. But I got to say, they really got after it in their soccer game.
They played hard because the goal was to win more time with Ben. The winning team would get to spend time with Ben. The losing team had to go home.
Yeah, and girls were cramping up, and their calves were nodding.
They were.
And the goalie, one of the twins, became an absolute animal. I mean,
yellow cards were given out.
It was pretty exciting. I think Zinedine Zidane showed up and headbutted a girl in the sternum.
The only girl who
said it, that's never been
said
before.
That is a great reference right there. The only girl who seemed to struggle was Lauren H. I think she knew going in that she was going to have trouble.
Kelly O'Hare and Alex Morgan here to help us out, teach us some great skills, and I need them because I have zero ball handling skills.
Yeah, she can't. She's not good at ball handling.
Yeah.
Which, well, that's a learned. It can be learned.
That's information I think Ben needs to know before he goes any further with picking who sticks around.
Nobody's nobody's born with ball handling skills.
No.
You
got to learn.
Can't teach soccer in 15 minutes, though, right?
They had two of the girls from the female
from the U.S. Women's team.
Women's team.
Yeah, okay.
So they did. They taught them, and they played hard.
All right.
Olivia, however, who used to be the front runner of the crazy Muppet Pez dispenser, she is not making any friends in the house. They're starting to turn on her because of her territorial ways.
Uh-oh.
And one of the twins, Haley, started to list all the things that were physically wrong with Olivia. She was trying to defend her by saying, well, you really shouldn't pick on her, but... And then here's the list.
People were making fun of her toes. Toes shouldn't be a big deal. But I think her boobs are fake, but it's okay. Like, you can tell that they're fake. And her breath is horrible.
So fat toes, fake breasts, horrible breath.
Girls are terrible to each other.
They really are.
I could tell why her breath is bad, because her mouth is so open. I mean...
Yeah, it's probably things living in there.
Everything gets in. Like,
right.
You know, it's like having an open house.
Yes.
You know?
It's like having a barn. There's probably a possum in there. There's a possum or a mole rat.
There's no insulation.
No. You get critters. That's the problem. You get critters. She's got critters
She's
in
got
there.
Critter breath.
She has a cavernous mouth.
Jubilee, who, by the way, I believe, P, much to your consternation, Usually you claim that the African-American ladies get voted off early in the process. She's been around now for a long time.
Well, a long time, but remember, Ralph, we still haven't left the city of Los Angeles.
That's true. Usually that's your cutoff, right?
It's with the African-American people, and I think it should be all African-Americans. You know me. Oscar's so white. Hashtag, you know me.
Right, I know. Sure.
But at the same time, it's very rare that we see an African-American person, man or woman, on the Bachelor franchise bring their passport to the show and get out of the country.
Yes, but she did get the solo date with Ben, which was good.
She did, and I want to make fun of Jubilee and all her different issues, but then her past is so... I think
tragic.
They made a mistake putting her on. I think she's going to kill him.
She may kill him.
Wow.
She did call him white boy at one point during the date. I thought that was charming.
Wow.
Ben seemed to laugh at that. She said, I don't think so, white boy. And he was like, okay, whatever you say, Jubilee, with your various prison-style tattoos.
Someone's going to get cut.
And then Lace pulled herself out of the competition. Stunningly, a shocking turn of events for me, P.
Yeah, it kind of blew me away, but she's been hanging on by a thread mentally and emotionally for the entire time.
But usually those are the women who stick around.
Yeah, but they have once Olivia turned crazy, they no longer had to keep Lace around as the secondary crazy person. Look, I'm doing the Bachelor Report, kid. The Paw Patrol's going to have to wait.
You got to have priorities, right, P?
Yeah, this kid thinks he's bigger than the freaking Bachelor Report. He's crazy.
So Lace realized that she didn't have the emotional wherewithal to fulfill the journey. Come on, kid. We're doing a show here.
That's not even P's kid. That's the weird thing.
Here's Lace pulling herself out of the game.
I just feel like going home might be easier and maybe just continue working on myself and trying to better myself because you, like my tattoo says, you can't love someone else until you truly love yourself.
Yeah. Once you start quoting your own tattoos, you know you're in trouble.
Tattoo.
You know, like my tattoo once said. You can't love yourself until you love yourself and others as well as you love yourself.
I just put a pillow over my kid's face because he was bugging me.
Good.
My tattoo says whatever it takes.
That's right. As your tattoo once said. And then, of course, Tammy got the boot. She did not get a rose. I felt bad for her, along with Shoshana and Lace. They're all gone. But Tammy, I think, really had the best way to look at it, her going home.
I don't know what to do anymore when it comes to liking a boy. I honestly don't know what to do. I just feel stupid for thinking that it would be a human like Ben.
Yeah, no more humans for her.
Oh, okay. Humans suck.
Moving on to another species.
I mean, are these people in their exit interviews, are they just, like, basically crying to get somebody to, like, say, no, I love you, I'll date you, when they get, like, back into the real world and somebody, like, hits them up on social media? Because that was really trolling. You
it
know,
was.
That's like me telling my wife, well, that's it, I can't do anything right. I guess I'm just not a human. It's like, okay, come on.
It's like somebody saying, I don't have any friends.
Well, I don't.
Well played, Ralph. Hey, great episode, you guys.
Good stuff, P. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sorry about the 3-year-old.
No, it was great. It added to it. It made it much better.
Back in the Skinner box for that kid.
That's what happens when you have sex, you know, not just all this romance in a jacuzzi.
I think we're aware.
Oh, one thing. Did you notice the Cialis commercial that they had out in the middle of nowhere where they put the bathtub out in the wilderness?
They put a hot tub out in the middle of the wilderness. They dropped them off in the biplane, and they went into this nothing there, like just completely deserted. Right in the middle was a beautiful hot tub jacuzzi.
Where did they plug it in?
Good question.
That's a good question. Good question. Maybe we can find out next week. Thank you, Pete. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't
have to watch. He is British comedy royalty and has been for years, and he is coming to America with a live comedy show, An Evening with Noel Fielding, happening March 29th through April 2nd at the Fonda. Tickets on sale now through AXS.com. Noel Fielding, his first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Noel.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, sir? Welcome, man.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, we're excited as well, and I'm a little bit concerned that we've already spoiled this with you, because Allie, who's kind of a crazy Uber fan, never does this, but she did leave the room to go out to grab your leg or
it was like a hump.
I don't know what was going on, but I just I want to make sure we didn't embarrass ourselves as a show by her coming out and being inappropriate with you or anything like that.
Ali came out and humped my coat, actually. Just sort of started humping my coat and, you know, the bottom of my legs. It was nice, actually.
Thank you. Okay.
So would you? She made it better then?
Yeah, she made it much better. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Noel.
I think you should do that for every guest then.
Well, if I'm feeling it.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It relaxes you.
Yeah. Wow.
I was a bit uptight and then now I feel fine.
Good.
I'm done. I'm going to talk to the radio stations in Britain to see if they can start employing that method.
Leg humpers.
Leg humpers.
I like
it. I just would like someone to rub against me or my bag or my coat, you know, just as
your bag.
A bag. You were rubbing against my bag, the fixtures.
That's a British slang term for something, I think.
Okay. Oh, my bag. Oh, yeah, not. Yeah. Not right?
Look, we don't know.
My satchel.
Your sack. Okay, I got it.
We don't know why you want rubbed. Don't put that on us.
You were in a frenzy. You didn't realize.
I didn't.
It's fine.
Okay.
No, what does this mean? I know you've been to America many times and you've performed many times. So how is what's coming up at the Fonda your first solo performance? Please explain.
Well, it's my first solo tour, actually. I'm doing lots of places. And I'd only ever done random one-off gigs. Well, I think we played Jack Black's festival at Santa Monica.
Festival Supreme.
Yeah, which was really good fun.
Right.
As the Boosh, that was. And then we played the Bowery in New York, and then we played the Roxy in LA, which was great. That because very small gig, but at that point, I think we were on Adult Swim at that point here. So we had a cult following. So Robin Williams came, Josh Homme came.
No kidding.
John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. It's quite
anyone
small.
We've heard of?
Yeah, no one. It's just famous people.
It's crazy.
And as you know, they don't really laugh. So it's quite a tricky gig. No, but Robin Williams was amazing. He came in like a whirlwind and just started doing impressions of our own characters, like the Crack Fox. It was amazing. Wow. So we were very excited. That was like meeting royalty for us growing up.
And I've heard you talk about how impactful that meeting was, and apparently Robin was a huge fan of yours, but then when he saw how much you guys ad-lib on stage, I think that was a shock to him, because he just thought, oh, these guys have great writers, or these are scripts, but you guys do it live.
Yeah, I think he was quite impressed by that. And growing up as a kid, Morecambe Indy was really the first program that I thought, oh, how's this guy got on television? He's amazing. Yeah. What's he doing? What's happening?
And then he came to your show and he was impressed by what you do.
Yeah, so it was very lucky. And also he's very generous. So he came to England, and on a chat show they said, oh, do you like British comedy? And he went, oh, I like the Maddie Bush. And we were like, yes! So that was great. It was like, it was beautiful.
We have so many questions we want to ask, but here's something I've never heard you talk about, because I look at you now and you are peculiar.
Right? That's not me.
Look at the kind of comedy you do. Look at what you wear and how you do your hair, and you're silly and you're just a freak show. I mean, and I mean that with all sincere respect.
With all due respect, yes. You're a freak show.
Those things can be great.
Yeah. Yes, they are great. And they are great.
I think maybe to untrained American eyes, I look like a freak show.
You're comfortable in your skin, it seems like, and you know who you are, and I love it, and I am a fan. But here's my question. What's that like to be 4 or to be 10 or to be 16? I mean, is that a difficult way to grow up, to navigate your way to where you are now against the rest of the world that maybe isn't so much into that?
Yeah, there's England. It's easy to do that, grow up in England and be a bit of a freak, because I think it's quite an eccentric place. And maybe because it's an island, it has an island mentality where it's very odd and lots of people wear weird clothes. And I guess a lot of the big cultural shifts, you know, the 60s and the 70s, in England, it was quite exciting. You know, there was a lot of fashion.
You didn't stand out as much as we would think.
No,
you would.
Maybe not, but a little bit. But you know, look at Bowie. You know, the impact that Bowie had, and you know, he used to wear some pretty out there clothes. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. you know, this last week.
But not everyone can pull that off, though. I mean, there are a lot of people who would be fans of David McGuire. Oh, I wish I had that sense of style, or I wish I was comfortable enough to do that. But most people aren't. What's interesting to me.
Well, you have to be in a sort of position where you're allowed to pull that off. I think because we had a TV show that was doing well and we used to do live shows, then people kind of want that, because they want some fantasy strand or make-believe. They want to believe that you are slightly different or otherworldly or something. You know, so when
you're younger than that, are your parents worried about you at all?
I got my dress sense from my mum. My mum's pretty out there. No, I was quite shy when I was growing up. So maybe it was when I hit art college that I started wearing makeup and dressing weirder. I think I probably dressed quite straight up until that point, but relatively straight.
You were tweeting a decent amount about Bowie last week.
Yeah, I was. I'm sure worldwide it's devastating, but if you're from England, it's it is like someone from the royal family died. It was pretty shocking. Also, I think because he was quite private at the end, no one really knew, so it was a big shock.
He's from near where you're from, right?
Yeah, he's from Bromley, I believe, in Kent, which is just down the road from me, because my parents live near Brixton, and it's not that far. So we've got a similar sort of accent, which is why the whole Bowie thing confused me, because yeah. I'm sort of from the same place as him, and I would say Bowie.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, it's Bowie. And I go, well, I'm from where he's from, naturally.
Maybe I'm right.
Yeah.
He was just being contrary, I think. Well,
trying to talk like David now. It's like I got, keeps slipping back in. But no, I think that he
chose the name from Jim Bowie?
Did he?
Though, right?
Maybe, yeah.
He's from the Alamo Hero. That's where he got the name.
Was he called David Jones?
That was his name, yeah.
You already had a
David
Jones, right?
Yeah.
The Monkees,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Which I love the Monkees too.
Well,
big
who
Mike,
doesn't?
Big Mike Nesmith fan.
So you never met David Bowie?
I did a photo shoot where I had to dress up as him, which was quite tricky because he was so thin. So I had to recreate some of his styles. So I didn't eat for like 3 weeks and I had to recreate lots of his styles. And it was in the paper in England, The Guardian, and he saw it and put it on his Facebook page at the front of his face and
sent
me an email. And I was like the most thrilled I've ever been. And I was like, I didn't even know that you knew who I was. And I love the Bush. And that was it then. I thought
you never got a chance to meet him?
And I thought I would then, if I could, you know, at some point, if I saw him somewhere, I could say, hey, and we could meet. And it never happened.
But it's so nice you had that connection, though, and you knew that he was a fan of yours as you were of his. That's great.
And also when they did an exhibition of his style at the V&A in London, and they've moved it to Australia since. Just sort of showed his clothes and his styles and, you know, all these things, gold discs, everything to do with his life. And they had a big sort of wall of people influenced by him, and he had a picture of me up there, so that was good.
Okay, so you toured with David Bowie.
Yeah, Are you a
thrift shop clothes guy, or do you have stylists for all that, Noel? Because you're in the right city to go look for crazy clothes this week.
Well,
you
know what? I just came from San Francisco as well, and I didn't really have a chance. I was too busy to go shopping, and everyone was like, oh, what are you doing? You should have gone.
Yeah.
And I think here's great as well. I do have a stylist, but I like to go thrift store shopping because I don't really like it when you buy something and then you see someone else wearing it. That makes me feel quite... A part of me dies inside.
That is not an overreaction. That makes a lot of sense.
I go into a trance and I take the article of clothing off wherever I am and set fire to it. Even if I have to walk home in just my underwear, I don't care.
Somebody else is wearing the same underwear, though?
Then I have to go home naked. Yeah.
Allie, take the man thrift shopping. Will you do that?
Fine.
Do you go thrift shopping?
I will. I will now.
You saw my coat. That's
right.
You liked my coat.
I love your coat. It looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, Bobcat said it looked like I'd skinned Elmo.
Oh, well.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's very upsetting.
I know.
Oh, that took a turn.
We have to take a very quick, very tiny break. I promise we'll be right back with our guest, Noel Fielding. He is a funny man. And this evening with Noel Fielding, I do want to spend some time talking about, because it is not just your typical guy on a stage walking with a microphone. I mean, he puts on a show. There's a reason it's called An Evening With. The shows are coming to the Fonda March 29th through April 2nd. Tickets are on sale right now through AXS.com. Don't miss this. More with Noel in a moment on K-Rock.
We just spent, I don't know, 10 minutes talking about how to make tea.
It's important.
Well,
it's
odd. Very important. A proper cupper, Kevin. Come on.
Sure.
Our guest is Noel Fielding. He is a stand-up comedian, an actor, an artist, a musician. Which of those are you most, would you say, Noel, in your heart?
Wow. I guess I like painting a lot. I do a lot of painting. But I want to be funny. I always try to write comedy. Music, not so much. I've been lucky to work with some really good people, like Julian from The Bush, who's really musical. And now that I work with Sergio Pizzorno from Kasabian, who are a huge band in England. Yep. They're not so big over here, I don't think, but they're big pretty much everywhere. So we work together on the music. We're in a band called Loose Tapestries, a sort of medieval funk band.
I'm sorry. The world needs that.
I'm sorry.
Medieval.
Explain how that works.
Yeah, we're going to do a tour. A tour of venues, only venues that have moats. with.
Like you do.
2019. Again. Look out for that, kids. Yeah? If you've got a moat, let me know.
You got a... there was quite a bit of press on the band. What's it called? Loose what?
Loose Tapestries.
Loose Tapestries. There were quite a bit of press because of your Christmas song this year and the special guest that ended up on it, which must have been a... Could you talk about that for a second? Because that is such a bizarre circumstance.
Yeah. Well, Idris Elba... Stringer Bell from The Wire, Luther, Mandela.
Oh, so good on Mandela. Luther. I'm just catching up on Luther.
So good. He heard our Christmas song. We just sort of thought, let's write a Christmas song. We thought, I wonder if we can. It was probably quite hard to do. And then we just started messing around. And we sort of came up with something that we quite liked. And then Serge knows Idris because he's a big Kasabian fan. And he played it to him and he went, oh, let me rap on it. So we said, yeah, go for it.
Really?
So he sort of took it away and he came back with a rap. And we just thought, this is great because now we can put featuring Mandela on the cover. So this is going to sell.
Right? It'll definitely sell in South Africa. For sure.
So we were like, this is great. But then what we did is we thought it'd be nice to give it away as a gift so you could just download it for free. And we just put it on YouTube. We made a little animated sort of video for it, a very basic DIY video. Rather than trying to put it in the charts or do it for charity or sort of try and make money out of it, we thought, it's Christmas, let's just give it away, which no one really does these days.
It's very nice.
So we just did that this year. So it was fun. We got quite a lot of exposure. People kept finding it and going, what's this? And then playing it on the radio. Can we play this on the radio? And I was like, yeah, you can. We've given it away.
Nobody understood.
Yours.
Nobody understood. It's like,
I don't understand what's happening.
So where do I pay?
This has got a string of bell on it.
All right, cool. Speaking of the animation, and I mentioned all the other things you do, tell me how this show comes together when it's an evening with you. Try to do a little bit of all of those things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not painting. May not be some painting on stage.
I'd like to do some live painting on stage. But I haven't
worked that'd be fun out. For the audience.
A 14-hour show.
God. I'm just going to shade the sky now, so bear with me. This would be a good point to go to the toilet. Now you'll see I'm cross-hatching on the upper cheek.
No, but I was sort of... it's stand-up to begin with. I like to come in and chat to the audience and sort of get them warmed up and do some material. And then I always get... I don't get bored. I just think that there's so much you can do on stage that to just do stand-up, unless you're one of the greats, you know, like Pryor or, you know, Robin Williams or Steve Martin, someone who really is amazing, then I always try and do more, you know. So I wanted to do anime. The Moon's in the show from The Mighty Boosh, and we thought we'd do a new character for the Moon, the dark side of the Moon. So he's got like an alter ego now. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. You'd never really know which character's going to come round. And he's like the sort of villain of the piece. And then I sort of thought it'd be nice to do some animation on stage. So I have a big sort of screen that has a sort of claymation world in it. And I do a sort of plasticine claymation version of Joey Ramone. So... it's like a children's story that I read and he's sort of the main character in it. And I thought what'd be great with animation live is if I could go into the animation and become animated and
what's happening? What's happening right now?
I'm into it. Let him talk.
And then maybe take someone from the audience on stage and put them into an animation
they become animated.
An animation. So we thought that's interactive. That would be amazing. So that's what happens. We get someone from the audience. They go behind a door like Narnia into the animation. We dress them up and then they appear as a claymation figure and have a bit of an adventure with David Bowie. There's a sort of claymation David Bowie as the Goblin King from Labyrinth and Joey Ramone. There's a Minotaur in there.
I hope somebody just tuned in because it just sounds like the rantings of a crazy man.
I know.
It is, Kelly. It
took a long time.
Does it sound like it?
To get this show to make sense. It's very tight, though. We've been working on it for a long time. So it's sort of concentrated madness.
That is wonderful. An evening with Noel Fielding, 5 nights, March 29th through April 2nd at the Fonda. This tour marks his first U.S. tour, right?
Yeah.
Available at AXS.com. Do you have, I know we're almost out of time, Noel, we could talk to you all day, but do you have ambitions to do something for America, or are you content to do what you do and let us all come to you?
I love America. A lot of my favorite comedy is from America. Mitch Hedberg and Emo Phillips and Stephen Wright and, you know, Robin, all these people that I've grew up loving. There's something, I love all the Saturday Night Live people, I love Belushi. There's so much comedy that I love in America. Mm-hmm. But when you're English, you're never quite sure. As you say, I dress like a freak, and my show's quite insane. People get taken and put inside animations, so there's music in it and sketches. But, you know, it's very eccentric. But
I don't think people go to see your shows to be catered to as Americans.
Well, I think maybe it's best to keep your quirkiness.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I've got a few ideas, and I'm talking to a few people. I would love to do something on television over here, maybe Adult Swim or somewhere like that. You know, somewhere. I mean, we don't have an Adult Swim in England.
Don't.
So we don't have the equivalent of that. So, you know, obviously Tim and Eric and, you know, Wonder Shows and then Xavier Renegade Angel. When I saw these shows, it blew my mind, you know, that somewhere existed. And then The Boosh ended up being on there. And it's sort of, if you're a cult out here, you can do pretty well. Yeah. England's a very small place. If you're a cult in England, you know, it's tricky. You've got to try and make enough money to keep doing what you do, you know. So you have to slightly cross the mainstream. But over here, I think you could probably exist as a cult. So I would absolutely love to do something over here and then do a lot more touring here. I've never been to lots of places. I've never been to Boston. I've never been to Seattle. We're going to those places. I've never been to New Orleans. There's so many places in America.
Oh, you're going to have such fun.
Yeah, so hopefully
except
you might be able to get rid of me.
How dare you?
I'm staying in this place, this studio right now.
Well, whatever you're doing is working for you, Noel. You got a lot of fans here, and we're excited about your shows coming up at the Fun. And look for Mr. Fielding on Conan tonight. And please come back and see us anytime you can, Noel. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you. That was amazing. Thanks so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54. You going to be okay, Allie?
I'm all right.
You recovering?
I'm okay.
You need a moment?
It just occurred to me. I had him do a video for my friend Jody.
Oh, of course you did.
I swear.
And
Can you stop harassing our guests with your video shtick?
Say hi to Linda. Okay, now say hi to my other friend.
It was only one friend. My friend introduced me.
Mighty Boosh that I really like, that one scene?
But it just occurred to me. If I have my ringer off, does that mean it won't record voice and video?
No, the volume of your ringtone shouldn't.
No, it's fine.
Do
it shouldn't affect. Should okay. Fine.
It
would
right.
Be very funny.
Glad
if
we
it
worked
didn't
this
though.
Out on the air.
I'm glad it was on the air too.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, Andrew Siciliano.
Technology once again supersedes almost any other skill you have.
Our friend Andrew from the NFL Network is going to recap the weekend that was and look ahead toward the conference championships next week, and that's coming up after 9. First, Rouse got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Sad news as we report that Glenn Frey, co-founder of the Eagles, along with Don Henley, singer, songwriter, guitarist. He was an actor, too. A lot of people forget that he did some turns in Miami Vice and other stuff. 67 years old, he passed away due to a complication from rheumatoid arthritis, believe it or not. And the medication he was taking for that, at least his manager claims, contributed to acute ulcerative colitis and pneumonia as well.
Ouch.
So
that all sounds bad.
It's all bad. Henley, along with Fry, wrote Hotel California and Desperado together. Fry wrote and provided vocals for many of their Eagles' biggest hits like Heartache Tonight, Lion Eyes, Tequila Sunrise, Take It Easy. The band was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998, and they had a famous reuniting tour after swearing they would never work together again. In fact, this tour was called the Hell Freezes Over tour, because they said that's when they would get back together again. But they did and made a ton of money. And
that was a great show. I think all of us saw it.
Yep.
That live version of Hotel California they did, the acoustic version, great stuff.
Everything about that show, the first half was acoustic, and then the second half was just rocking, and Joe Walsh went off.
Great
musicians. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Dr. Ben Carson. By the way, Republican presidential candidate, Dr. Ben Carson, tweeted out this touching tribute to Glenn Frey. Take it easy, Glenn Frey. It's your turn for that peaceful, easy feeling. For the rest of us, it's going to be a heartache tonight.
Really?
How did that not come from Bean? How was that not Bean's tweet?
Really? Wait a minute. He's still running for president, though, right?
Yeah, he's still running for president.
And that's what he's doing with his time right now?
Look.
Everybody else can make fun of him, but you, Bean.
Yeah. You still have Bean's tweet, Kevin, that he tweeted out?
Chip's going to find it. It was something along the lines of, I'm not going to try and guess.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, Bean
also. It's really precious. It's beautiful. It's a really beautiful, touching thing.
We got nothing?
Well, Chip is not quick. Well,
I have it. I have it here.
All right, Bean, yes.
I looked it up, please.
Do we have the harp sound effect? This is like an actual, thanks for that tweet, Bean, is read by the master.
no comparison to that inelegant mess that you read from Dr. Carson. Right. This is how that tweet needs to be delivered. I was really sad about Glenn Frey until I remembered, even though he has checked out, he can never leave.
Yay!
You can't.
No,
you can't be in charge.
It's not me. It's not me.
No.
It's the kids.
It's your own thing.
Followed by these comments. So dumb. File. Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
File.
Yes.
Those are the responses that he gets.
I believe Chip wrote, "God damn it." I think that's all she wrote.
And she's correct.
And I appreciate the many listeners who immediately tweeted me saying, cue up the harp and the reverb right now.
Look, we could do that feature every day.
Every day.
I felt it needed to be said.
Yeah.
And I was a big Glenn Frey fan.
Right.
Mm. Tell by your touching tribute to him. This is a surprise when it comes to movie news. Kevin's going to hate this, but I'm intrigued. We just had Noel Fielding, of course, in one of my favorite British comedy talents. Steve Coogan's another one that I love. Steve Coogan is a genius. He has just signed on to do a feature film with John C. Reilly.
Oh, no kidding.
Huh. Yes. They're going to work together in a biopic. Kevin, see if you're interested or not. Laurel and Hardy. Laurel and Hardy. Legendary comedy team of Laurel and Hardy.
Those two?
Be called Stan and Ollie.
Yes.
And they will perform together as Laurel and Hardy.
I like great casting,
I like
by
both
the way.
Of them.
Mm-hmm. You like Laurel and Hardy?
No, I like John C.
Stan and Ollie?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Why do you hate Laurel and Hardy?
I'm excited.
Because
they're black and white, Allie.
Black and white, and they don't have a Segway, and they don't run into a pane of glass. So they can't possibly be good. One of the great film comedy pairings of all time, Kevin.
Classic. It sounds racist.
To this day, it has nothing to do with race.
And one of them's fat, white, though. You should like that.
One of them's fat.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Why do you guys, what's the point of this?
To try to get you to budge off your mark. To get you to move just out of the pocket a little bit.
Have you met me?
Yeah, but hope springs eternal, Kevin. We think maybe there can be one, just a glimmer, a chance. if there's a crack.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go twice.
Kevin, God damn it.
But here's,
or watch it on TV twice, or wherever it is, whatever it is. I'm going
to
watch
it. Here's what I want to add to what Ralph is saying, is every weekend we hear from you, oh, can't wait to go see that 13 hours Michael Bay movie. And I think, you know what, in 2 hours, imagine how much greatness you could be watching that you have previously ignored. Laurel and Hardy, if you watched 2 hours of Laurel and Hardy, that would have been so much more fun for you than that stupid Benghazi movie.
You still talking?
He's got nothing. There's not even a flicker of recognition.
We all have such limited time, Kevin. We need to use it more wisely.
I use my time the way I want to use mine. I don't have to use it like you want me to use
it. But we're showing you there's another way, is what we're saying. This is your life the way you live it.
Right.
We're trying to show you that there's
I'm having a good time. Well, this might surprise you guys.
But
I'm having fun.
Sometimes there are foods that are worth eating that aren't on the kids' menu. That's all we're saying.
Nope.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
If I don't do it already, it's not worth doing. That's Kevin's take. It's amazing you've gotten this far ahead. You still should be pooping in diapers and crawling. It's stunning to me that you even had the wherewithal to go outside your comfort zone to start walking.
I am amazing. That's right, Ralph. Thank you.
And to relieve yourself on a facility instead of in your pants. Because at one point, you never had done that before.
Right.
So apparently there was a point.
There's a lot you don't know about me, Garmin.
So you're still going in diapers?
I'm still going in my pants right now.
There was a moment of personal growth somewhere in your history.
How dare you.
Chip says. There's one moment.
Opposite weekends.
What about opposite weekends? Can't you watch Laurel and Hardy on opposite weekends?
Chip, I'm going to punch you right in the balls.
She doesn't have them.
Well.
We're running late. Look up the birthdays yourself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations, Michael Ibarra from Los Angeles. We are doing K-Rock's World Tour 2016. Destination number one is 21 Pilots in Tokyo, Japan. That's pretty cool. Michael just got tickets to see them locally and gets on the standby boarding list. You can win your tickets a little bit later today on the world-famous K-Rock.
He's a winner, so he gets to stay in Donald Trump's America. He doesn't get deported for being like everyone else who tried to win and lost.
It depends. Like, maybe when he's out of the country, Donald Trump changes his mind and won't
come
back.
Oh, then he can't come back in. Yeah, that's right.
That could happen.
Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL, the NFL Network, and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel, is on the phone with us. Hey, Johnny Football. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Andrew, you tweeted something maybe at the beginning of the weekend that the divisional round in the NFL playoffs is your favorite weekend of the year. How come? And did it live up to your expectations this year?
It absolutely, unequivocally, 1,000,000% did. And it's my favorite weekend of the year. And I think a lot of people's favorite weekend of the year. Because when you cut it down to eight, you generally have really, 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 really good teams and evenly matched games. And I think with the game in Arizona, with the game we saw between, I mean, even though it was 31-0 at the half, the game we saw between the Panthers and the Seahawks, just everything. The Bronco game, it is normally the best quality of football the entire year. Right. Not to take away from this weekend, but it's double the games of this weekend.
All right, Andrew, I have a question for you. From the Cardinals-Packers game, how does a coin not flip? How does a referee flip the coin and it doesn't actually flip, so he picks it up and does it again?
Have you seen the slow-mo video from up top?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've seen the best guess as to what happened. What's your theory, Andrew?
It's a manhole cover. First of all, they don't use like a coin.
It's not a coin. They don't use a coin.
Right.
Right. They use this oversized commemorative coin.
Right, like, but is this a surprise to them?
I don't know. I mean, okay. Like, it looked like one of those things the Franklin used to sell you at 3 in the morning when we were kids.
Have any of you ever seen this happen before?
I have not.
Mm-mm. Like, I've seen it happen when you're flipping a coin with friends and you're intentionally, which I'm not suggesting here was the case, but you're intentionally not trying to flip it and you're trying to screw your friend over. But I've never seen it happen like this. Technically, there is nothing in the rule book, as far as I know, that says that the coin must turn over at least once for it to be a legal coin toss.
Oh.
However, the referee determined that it wasn't kosher and did it again, and the Cardinals won both times.
Right. Controversy averted.
Controversy averted, correct.
Right. Okay, but now let's talk about the real issue that got me so fired up.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, 2 years in a row, gets to overtime in this game, and 2 years in a row doesn't get to come on the field because other team scores it. And I know that that rule changed a few years ago, and I know some people are happy with it, others are not. What do you think, Andrew? Is it time to reexamine that again? Does that seem fair to you, the way it's going?
Whether or not it's fair, I kind of like it. And hear me out for a second. Under the old rule, it would have been the same. Because under the old rule, it was simply sudden death.
Yeah,
first team to score a win.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was, and it was basically up to an arbitrary coin flip we just discussed. It was a manhole cover. So either way, the Cardinals would have won. They switched it to the current method to try to make it more fair by saying that the first team to get it had to actually score a touchdown to end the game.
If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I would say to my defense, how about somebody get within 50 yards of number 11?
Yeah.
How about they were all within 50 yards and they still couldn't tackle? They were all within 50 inches of him and they all couldn't tackle. And I mean, that was one of, that was bad tackling, but B, that was one of the better postseason plays, runs, call it whatever you want to say, in recent NFL history. That was also, I mean, forget about the coin flipping, forget about all that other stuff. It was, hands down, one of the best games anyone has ever seen at any time, considering the circumstances. When those teams last in that building in the playoffs, it was a 96-point game that ended with a strip sack and a fumble recovery and a touchdown the other way. This game was almost as good, even with, 40 points, whatever it was. I mean, the game was...
It was incredible. No, you're right.
Where you were when that game ended for the rest of your life.
And no one is as good at Hail Marys as Aaron Rodgers. No one.
There's most people think it's luck. He proved that there's actually kind of a science to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, incredible. We're talking to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
Really, no, but what science? You throw it up and you have somebody who can jump higher than everybody
because
else.
Because it's because it's precision passing. That's why.
There is precision to it. If you look at the one even against Detroit, too, especially the one against Detroit, he threw that ball, 60 yards in the air, specifically to a spot, specifically to a person. Now, yes, that person, Richard Rodgers in the case of Detroit, out-jumped everyone else, but went up and got it. But most quarterbacks simply lean back, throw it as hard and as far as they can, and close their eyes and pray. He actually threw it to a dude, and he did that twice, and it worked twice, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a miracle, and the playoffs are sadder for him having exited. All right, speaking of quarterbacks.
Kevin, do you agree with that?
I'd like to see Arizona move on, if you don't mind.
No, I'm fine with that, and I'm not saying anything against Arizona. They're a great team, and they deserve to be where they are. I'm just sad that he's out just because he's so damn good. All right, this year is very different, Manning versus Brady. What did you say it was, the 17th one that's going to be next week, and the 17th
this
time they played against each other?
Version 17, yes.
But this is Peyton Manning, you know, 5.0, right? I mean, this is way past the Peyton Manning we fell in love with, right? I mean, how are you feeling about that one?
I would say it's Peyton Manning version 38 years old. There's a lot of snark out there on social media about the hype that undoubtedly will be thrown upon everyone in advance of this game on Sunday. I would say sit back and enjoy it and forget the snark for a while. Both of these quarterbacks are going to the Hall of Fame. This era of professional football will be written with their two names in the lead sentence.
That's true.
Enjoy this game. Brady is better, okay? Brady has a better offense right now. Brady has far more left in the tank right now. Denver has the better defense. Denver is at home. Peyton Manning is right now, and this is an insult for most quarterbacks, a game manager. He's not going to throw the ball downfield. He's not going to wow you with his amazing throws. He is the guy who's out there to not make mistakes.
And self-sack.
In the best position. And do what?
And self-sack. And he's the guy to throw himself down on the ground and then realize, hey, they didn't call it. I guess the play's still alive.
There's not enough self-sacking for me.
That was one of the strangest things I've ever seen, Andrew.
That was straight, I've fallen and I can get up.
Exactly. Yeah. He was like, wait, this ball is still alive?
He was legitimately embarrassed by that play, by the way. And look, they probably should have whistled it dead because he gave himself up falling forward. That should be probably a sack and not a 30-yard gain.
Yeah, but it's Peyton Manning, so he gets away with it.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. You heard me.
It's on.
You know, by the way, can I just say this? Patriots fans on social media, as soon as any team gets a flag to go their way, because that happens, it's part of the game.
Right. Uh-huh.
Patriots fans just take the social media to bombard everyone with cheaters, cheaters, cheaters.
Well, Patriots fans are insufferable. We all know that. All right, Andrew, last thing, and I just have to say this personally, because obviously I took a lot of abuse from the Kevin and Bean listeners when the Seahawks performed so poorly. I feel great about this season of Seattle, and tell me if this is a healthy attitude, and tell me if this is the way I should be thinking. Your team is not going to go to the Super Bowl every year. The Seahawks played three quarters of very, very good football against
Patriots.
A great, great football team.
The Patriots.
On Sunday. But three quarters isn't enough at this level of the playoffs. You've got to play all four quarters well. So they deserve to lose, and you know what? We'll get them next time. I'm fine with it.
You should be fine.
You're a loser.
You're actually a reasonable human being.
Oh, that's what I meant, reasonable.
This is, this is his way of just appeasing it so nobody comes at him.
No.
I see what you're doing, Bean.
I am sincerely 100% over it.
I was like, that's Bean's way of being like, nobody come at me. I'm saying I'm fine with it.
My tweet said I was proud of them. No. They didn't give up. They made a valiant comeback effort.
You would have been the first one tweeting me and tweeting Kevin like, oh, in your face. But since your team lost, you were like, I'm good with it. Everybody else should be, too. Pip, pip, cheerio. Whatever.
Disarming you guys with this charming modesty.
See what I'm dealing with here, Andrew.
Historically, it is exceedingly hard to make the Super Bowl 3 years in a row.
Yeah, of course
it
is.
All I know is
that I got like 25 text from Chip saying, when are the Dolphins playing? That's all I know. She could not find them anywhere. Very
all right, we're out of time. Andrew, you are the best. We always love talking to you. I hope we can do it again next week if your schedule permits. We'll look for you on Around the NFL and the NFL Network this afternoon at 3. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you Monday, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin to meet you at 9:41.
Pretty cool.
I love that song. Play it again.
We will, Pee-wee. Thank you. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning.
It is up online, the teaser for Pee-wee's Big Holiday. If you want to see that trailer for the new Netflix Pee-wee Herman film, it just dropped this morning. So
now, what's the holiday?
I've been watching it over and over and over again.
What's the holiday in this movie?
This looks really good.
I want to ski off a roof.
Just based on that, I want to see it.
I don't know what the holiday is, but I'm in. Whatever.
Because it's coming out in March, and it's just it's a curious time.
Oh,
for
here we go, Asperger's.
No, I'm saying it's a curious time for a movie with holiday in the title, unless it relates to something I'm not.
Okay, hold on just a second.
You see, there's the sparks flying out of his robot head, and he can't rationalize how something could have holiday in it and come out in March.
Let me just get to the important part. Are you going to watch it because it's Pee-wee?
Yes,
shut the F up.
No, I don't think so. I think I find it too out of joint with the calendar.
I'm excited
I'm
about
saying,
it.
Shut up then, because you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it. Doesn't matter. Don't need clarification, because you're going to watch it.
All right.
Maybe celebrating 3/12 Christmas.
Well,
maybe it's a 3/12 Christmas movie.
Could be St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. I'm just trying to get my head around what it is.
You don't need to know right now. It's okay.
I would feel better.
You're all right. Now, you're okay.
If I had that kind of information already locked down, I would be more content.
Pour yourself some chocolate milk, put a cold compress on your head, and just lay the F down.
I don't like a lot of unanswered questions in my life. That's all.
There you go.
Bean.
Now you're better off.
I'm okay.
I'd like to say also that I am also thrilled with the Philadelphia Eagles season. not every team can win 500. You know, percent of their or half of their games.
Sure.
And so I just.
So you look at it as a success.
I look at it as a success. Not every team can have a head coach that stays with the team. And I just want to say that I'm very proud of my team. I'm very happy with their season. And it's okay. And I'm fine with it. I just want to put that out.
That's great. It's a good attitude to have.
I know you guys are mocking because you're a bigger man. Because you're all cynical. But look, I feel good about having come to a healthy place with my relationship with my sports team. I'm not going to let it ruin my day because guys I don't know didn't win a football game. I'm sad about it. I'm disappointed.
Now they're guys that you don't know.
No.
Because they lost. Oh, I don't know any of these people who lost that game. Won, you'd be like, the beast mode is my John.
Look, I love them. As a fan, I love them. But I also have to have a real life that is not conditional on their success. I feel like this is a breakthrough for me, you guys, and I'm happy with it.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
What's wrong with a little growth as a human being, guys?
I feel like this is a breakthrough for me, and I'm happy with it.
I don't know. I think we're just not buying it.
Right.
Tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because your team was good enough to advance. And so that would be disappointing to me.
It was disappointing. No, I'm not saying I'm not disappointed. Okay. I'm really disappointed. I mean, that was an embarrassment. That first quarter of football was an embarrassment. We were a joke. I'm just saying they can't go to the Super Bowl every year. And they've been a very successful franchise for more than 10 years. And I still am a big fan. And I just look forward to next season. I hope they get their act together.
Did you tweet "Bye Felicia" to them when they lost?
I did not.
Oh, no, you didn't. Did. Oh, okay.
That was when the Seahawks beat the Vikings.
Yeah, just barely on a fluke missed field goal. Right. So you can't "Bye Felicia" a team 1 week and then the next week when you're all fired up, 1 week come back and say, "Oh no, I'm settled with it. I'm fine. I've taken my Xanax and all is well."
I would have been delighted.
Be passionate or don't be passionate.
I am passionate, but I'm also able to compartmentalize and not let it ruin my life. Look, I hate that smug mother effer Cam Newton. I hate him. Okay, but they won fair and square. They deserve to move on.
I just dabbed on you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Dabbed on you.
But you know what? They're the better team, and they deserve to move on.
By far,
see,
though, right? I mean, by far the better team.
It looked like it Sunday. The Seahawks need to learn from that and get better. That's all. That's all I want.
That's what Bean's about. Learning and growing.
Yeah, growth.
It's a teachable moment, in the words of Bean Baxter. And he's happy that they've had this teachable moment. It's much better than them going on in the playoffs.
Well,
they've learned something.
Correct.
And that's
I would have preferred
right?
a Super Bowl.
If they moved on, no one would have learned
anything. You don't learn anything from success. Right. You learn from failure, Kevin. That's how you get better.
But let me ask you this question, Ralph.
Important lesson we've all learned.
And I don't want to extend this conversation anymore.
Then,
I'm going to do it anyway.
Another question.
Are you the kind of person who, now that your team's out, will pick another team to root for, or do you have equal disinterest in all the remaining field?
No, I have. In each game, I have a team I would prefer. Usually, it comes down to the team I hate less.
Right.
Okay.
So it's like the Giants are playing. You want whoever's playing against them,
right,
to win.
Yeah. This past weekend, I was rooting for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
No particular reason.
Not sure why. But
I was just rooting for the Carolina Panthers.
But we're all anyone but Patriots, right? We're all in that boat.
Like the Broncos-Steelers game. I don't really have a dog in that fight. But I would like to see Manning go out on a high note. I think he's a legend. I think he's one of the greats. He's obviously at the end of his powers and the end of his career. I would like to see him prolong
his
final hurrah for as long as possible. So I was rooting for them in that game. So I always find a reason to pick a side. Makes it more interesting for me. All right, let's talk about show.
Bean's happy.
I'm in a good place.
That's the thing about Bean. He's always in a good place.
That's the thing.
He's glass half full. That's Bean.
Why is that movie coming out in March? Maybe you need
to
resolve that issue more so than your feelings for the Seahawks
that are fake.
Okay,
right. This is it's nice, but it's sad at the same time. David Bowie's final album, Black Star, has debuted at number one on the Billboard charts. That makes it the first chart-topping album ever for David Bowie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Shocking.
And, you would think he would have had that mark of success previous, but it is, obviously, they say largely due to the fact that he passed so closely after its release. So, in a way, it's kind of, I guess, sort of a hollow victory to be number one posthumously. But still, it's a nice homage to the man's talent. He did very well. Sold over almost 175,000 copies, according to Nielsen Music. And that's the best sales week for Bowie since they started tracking electronic purchases for music. So
let me throw in a P.S., though, that this album should not be viewed as just a souvenir because he died.
No.
It's a great album. It's the best thing he's done in years, and I urge people to seek it out. It's really, really good.
But it is a downer, though.
Well,
it's a dark, somber... Well, it's his farewell, you know?
Yeah.
It's a goodbye. He knew he was dying, and he wrote his songs, I think, with that in mind, and there's a lot of sort of retrospective qualities to the songs, and in light of his passing, it gets even sadder, I think. So
may not be for you, Kevin. It's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute.
See how he does that?
Heaven.
See how he does that?
He snuck that in on you right there. Paley Fest.
What kind of a way to promote something is that?
Well, it's the way they hawk things on the boardwalk down in Atlantic City. Sells fudge, I know that much.
Are you trying to sell fudge?
No, trying to sell Paley Fest.
All right.
It's one of my favorite events of the year. It's when the Paley Center for Media puts together evenings with your favorite TV shows, casts, and creators. It's always fun. If you enjoy television, you would enjoy spending at least a couple of evenings with these fine folks. You can go to paleyfest.org to see the current lineup. I'm going to give it to you right now. You can get tickets through that same website. They're going to do an evening with the cast and creative team behind Empire.
Yes.
Smash hit over there on Fox. Scream Queens, which has also taken the audience by storm. Blackish. Have you watched Blackish? Very funny show.
Very funny show.
It is sort of, I hate to compare it because of all the rape, but it's sort of a Cosby show for a new generation, you know? It is obviously an African-American family, but they address themes and issues that are completely universal and very entertaining. Lawrence Fishburne is excellent on it. Anthony Anderson, of course, the star, is brilliant. I think it's a really good show. Supergirl, you know I love that.
It's a good show, too.
They're going to do an evening with those folks. Can we get Melissa in, since she's going to be in town?
I'm working on that, yeah.
It's happening here locally. Big Bang Theory, Fear the Walking Dead, a salute to Dick Wolf. How many hours do you have?
Right.
If you salute Dick Wolf, you have to show all 407 of his shows that are currently on television. It's madness, I say. Power.
which Power.
Dave told us is on
Stars.
And American Horror Story Hotel. So, good lineup this year. If you're interested, you can check out PaleyFest 2016 at PaleyFest.org.
www.voicesfromspirit.com.
No, it's just PaleyFest.org.
/V21/N5/links.htm.
PaleyFest.org. And we talked, of course, about Bowie. Couldn't do the showbiz beat without mentioning the passing of Eagles guitarist, singer, songwriter, founding member Glenn Frey has passed away. 67 years old. He was one of the major influences in the, what they known as the California sound of rock and roll in the 70s and 80s. I think Eagles, one of the most influential, certainly one of the most popular bands of the 70s and 80s, but passed away at the age of 67. But then he did that Heat Is On song, so I'm not quite sure how to feel about all this. Boy, is that awful.
We had a listener that wrote me over the weekend, Ralph, after the very, very sad news about Mr. Frey, and said that his family was going to have trouble burying him because he technically belongs to the city.
You're now... Now what you're doing is you're telling us tweets, bad tweets, that people tweet to you. So we have all of the bad ones that you tweet.
That you create those.
I just thought it was worth passing along that information for folks who are concerned.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, being tweeted after hearing about the passing of Glenn Frey.
I was really sad about Glenn Frey until I remembered, even though he is checked out, he can never leave.
Yeah! No, kids.
Nope.
Dr. Ben Carson tweeted,
"Take it easy, Glenn Frey. It's your turn for that peaceful, easy feeling. For the rest of us, it's going to be a heartache tonight."
So I guess what we're saying is, hey, clever guy who thinks you're going to work the titles of a guy's song into your tweet when he's dead. Not a big accomplishment, really. Not a big achievement. Nobody's that proud of you. Really?
I watched Bill Maher over the weekend, and he referred to Dr. Carson as the human screensaver.
He's not an energetic guy, if that's what you're saying. Dr. Ben. Today's celebrity birthday is Dolly Parton, 70 years old today. Katie Sagal is 62. Paul Rodriguez, very funny comedian, is 61. Sean Wayans turns 45. Drea Di Matteo, who is so good over there on Shades of Blue, really enjoying that new show with Jennifer Lawrence and, Jennifer Lopez and Ray Liotta. Frank Caliendo is 42. Jodie Sweetin, Full House fame, and now Fuller House is 34, and Logan Lerman celebrates his 24th birthday. Oh, I forgot to mention, our buddy comedian and actor Rob Delaney also celebrates birthday today. He's 39.
Oh. Hey, Rob.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Is he there with you?
Did you just say, hey, Rob?
I did.
Okay. All right. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a professional penis photographer. Did you know
I'm
this
sorry,
exists?
What happened now?
A professional penis photographer.
That can't
this
be
is
a lucrative industry.
A high-quality picture
it
of your penis.
It can't be a lucrative industry.
Dressed
Ralph,
up.
Wait till you hear about
what
it.
You're dressed up.
It's not what you think it is. Where
don't make
I just
me come over there.
No, it's not just, hey, take a picture of my junk and make it look good so I can Tinder it. It's dress up my penis as Benjamin Franklin.
Like with a monocle and stuff? Like that
yes.
type of dress?
No.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Right? Monocle. Because it's only got the one
right.
eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I hate this show and everything it stands for.
We also have comedian Jay Moore in studio tomorrow and a fellow by the name of Arthur Darville, who plays Rip Hunter. Did I not say that right?
Barely got there.
Who plays Rip Hunter?
He's great, and he was on Doctor Who, and the show is awesome, and he's awesome, and I will pronounce his name properly tomorrow.
Okay, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.